This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Still haven't figured out why Frank Morano would choose this heavy metal song as his theme song, since he's not part of the heavy metal bangers who used to be featured on MTV. No. That's not Frank Morano. In fact, I'm going to give you an update on Frank Morano's prognosis. Yeah, it's a prognosis because he's following in the footsteps of Pete Buttigieg, who is our Secretary of Transportation, has totally abandoned his responsibilities to the nation with shortage delays, pipeline problems, skyrocketing inflation. He chooses to continue to milk this system to get that paternity leave money and be able to grow barnacles on his backside, right? And just sit at home. In this case, sitting on his knee, listening to talk radio. Boy, you better call child welfare a dyfus on this guy. He's actually having young Carmine, born on 9/11. Remember, on November 25th of this year, he's actually having him listen to talk radio. This kid's going to be demented, tortured. It's sort of like going to become like Linda Blair. He's going to be in need of an exorcism from listening to talk radio so early in his life. And to show you the problems that he's had adjusted, as you know, when he was brought into the world at Richmond County Hospital by a midwife, a 92-year-old nun on loan from Mount Laredo, in addition to the OBGNY, I have no idea what that acronym means, the nurse ratchet at Richmond County Hospital. He was 13 pounds. They had to deliver him in a bathtub. Poor Rachel, his wife. Normal birth, natural birth. We're not talking cesarean. No. And so she's still recovering from that ordeal. Carmine, 10 days later, he's 16 pounds. I don't know what they're giving him. Devil dogs, yodels, who knows? And there's Frank Morano, the proud father, saying, yeah, my kid's listening to talk radio. He's learning English from Curtis Sliwa. That is a major, major mistake. Oh, my God. What's the kid's name? CWM Carmine William Morano. Oh, brother. But I'm doing a solid for Frank. John Katsimatidis, Marco Katsimatidis, our owner and operators here at WABC, are always looking for new programming. So I'm figuring Frank, brand new father, can't shut up his mouth about that. Maybe we could have him do a series here like Bedtime for Bonzo. Remember who did Bedtime for Bonzo? Is anyone out there willing? They're not going to get it. This is the Frank Morano audience. I mean, come on. Bedtime for Bonzo, 1951. I mean, we could have Frank Morano read bedtime stories like he should be reading to Carmine instead of having him listen to talk radio WABC, always broadcasting Curtis. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. And by the way, who starred in Bedtime for Bonzo? One of Frank Morano's all-time favorite movies. Yeah, this is a talker. This is not a silent movie. This is actually a talker. And by the way, who was Bonzo? Notice, if this were in the first 4 hours, 9-1, the phones would have lit up. You already would have had winners of the Curtis Lee with Booby Prize. Don't ask, don't tell. I'm so cheap, I throw nickels around like manhole covers. I'll send you my belly button lamp. But there would have been a full board of callers who would have known this, nailed it. With Frank Morano listeners, they're like, maybe we can Google it. What did he say? It's sort of like have hearing difficulties. They might be in need of hearing aids. A whole bunch of problems. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. And let me tell you why we are out of sync here at WABC with the rest of the country. I blame Frank Morano and his wife, Rachel. I blame Andrew Giuliani, son of Michael Buttigieg, Rudy Giuliani, and his wife, the Lithuanian bombshell. Well, she's from Latvia or Estonia, I don't know, one of those three countries. There's no doubt Vladimir Putin wants to take over. When he sits down with Joe Biden, he'll probably shake him down for both Latvia, and Estonia. He'll say, yeah, I won't take the Ukraine. I'll just take those three countries. But I divert. And actually, Greg Kelly, proud father of his second daughter, and his wife has contributed to this. You know, unlike Derek Jeter, who was very humble, a lot of humility, didn't say anything about the new daughter that he and his wife brought into the world. No, all three of these guys were like, you know, screaming it, loud decibels, wherever they could. Let me tell you how they are against the tide here in America. Let me give you the latest stats and why all three of them should not be as proud as they act. The number of U.S. homes with a married couple and kids fell to a record low, according to new Joe Biden governmental data. As the pandemic further delayed weddings and more adults don't plan to have kids at all, the share of the U.S.'s 130 million households headed by married parents with children under age 18 fell to 17.8% in 2021 from 18.6% last year, according to the Census Bureau, or it just meant that more people were using birth control, which they should be. That's down from more than 40% in 1970. Wow, that's quite a drop. The absolute numbers. There are just 23.1 million homes with nuclear families. The fewest since 1959. Eisenhower, 59. That's right, the president was from Kansas. On the very day that Bob Dole from Kansas, who wanted to be president, did not get elected, was beat by Bill Clinton. I like that segue. See, I gave you two for one. With the Frank Morano audience, you got to give them something to get something. The pandemic delayed many marriages over the past 2 years, adding 6 months to a woman's age at first marriage, the most since 1987, to now 28.6 years. In the 1950s and 60s, women typically married at 20 years of age. And 23 years for men. Look at it now. Look at how it skyrocketed. And what did our three guys decide to do? Bring babies into the world and overpopulate the globe. Frank with Carmine. Andrew Giuliani with, who is that, Teach Out? Whatever her name is. Now running for the Attorney General slot of the state of New York. And then, of course, there's Greg Kelly. I don't know what his daughter's name will be. But there's three extra kids that we have now that, you know, it's not good for the globe, right? It's not going to help our greening process. They're going to end up using a lot of products, add to global warming, climate change. It's not going to be good. Births have generally been on the decline as Americans are marrying later in life, which has grown more pronounced in the pandemic, which means, I guess, why Joe Biden wants so many illegal aliens coming from south of the border, most of whom are no longer from Mexico or Central America. They're from parts unknown. A little editorializing there. Anyway, let's go to the phones. 1-800-848-9222. Look at it. Hold it. Wow. I don't know. What? Remedial training the Frank Morano listeners have had in between this show and the last time I did it? Let's go to Todd in New York City. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Todd.
Curtis, you're doing a fantastic job filling in for Frank. Anyway, as soon as you mentioned bedtime for Bonzo, I knew it was Ronald Reagan.
Oh, very good. Very good. You get the Curtis Sliwa Booby Prize.
Hellcats of the Navy with Nancy. I think that was 1957. He did.
Hey, I didn't need an Encyclopedia Britannica of all the movies he was in, Todd. I asked for one movie alone. Do you think it's a good idea that I'm trying to convince our owner-operator and talk show host in his own right, John Catsimatidis, to have Frank Morano the bedtime hour for children, read them children's stories on the radio which was a tradition years ago.
I don't know if his listeners are going to go for that, but can't hurt to try.
Well, let's face it. His listeners, who do you think has more of an IQ, babies, or do you think his listeners? Come on. And by the way, a lot of them wear Depends, just like babies wear diapers.
I think the babies.
Yeah. You see? He agrees with me, Todd. Anyway, so everybody else is upset. Upset. Let's go to Elaine from Riverdale. Psych! We already found out it's Ronald Reagan, right, Elaine?
Hello, Curtis. Hello.
Yeah, yeah, I'm here. I'm here, Elaine. You know, I just...
I'm sorry.
No,
yes,
no, no, you know, you don't have to apologize. You're a Frank Morano listener. Don't apologize. It's not your fault.
By the way, I met you several years ago when you were across from me. I was at the Supreme Court.
So wait a second now. I'm supposed to remember.
The trial.
I was crossing the street. At what trial was that, Elaine?
At the Gotti trial that you attended on a few occasions.
Right, and you know that I was crossing the street with the good. And Frank Morano was hanging out with the Gottis with the bad. You didn't see him, did you, Elaine?
No, I didn't know about Frank in those days. This was back around 2006
Yeah, no, he was a Gotti guy. I'm telling you, he was rooting for the Gottis. Yeah, he's trying to.
All right, you gave me some information tonight.
You know,
I wanted to ask you:
yes.
Did you ever find the egg cream you were on a hunt for many years before that?
Did I ever find, what was that, Elaine?
The egg cream. You wanted to know what had happened to our famous egg creams in New York.
Yeah, well, Cannon, Cannon Street. I asked that question the other night, and none of the Gavones of the Frank Morano show, The Other Side of Midnight, can answer that. Where is Cannon Street on the Lower East Side? That's where Meyer Lansky and Sheldon Silver used to go to get their egg creams and their rod pretzels, salted rod pretzels, you know, which was like considered a delicacy then, an egg cream and a salted rod pretzel. You remember that, Elaine, right?
It's still a delicacy, but let me tell you something. I've been making my own for years. I know the recipe.
So let me ask you a question. You call it an egg cream, but you don't put an egg in it. I mean, that's like...
Absolutely.
That's trickery. That's chicanery. Why would you call it an egg cream if there's no egg in it?
Well, because when you pour in the soda, it foams up and it looks rich, like a beaten egg into it.
No, I understand.
You know
Look, of course, you take the fizz, or you take the seltzer, you put it in there with the U-Bets, or I prefer the Bosco.
I like the U-Bet. Mm-hmm.
Right, you like the U-Bets. Okay, the Bosco or the Hershey's. And then you don't put an egg in, so you're actually saving money on your egg cream. You're really chipping the customer because you convince them they were getting an egg cream with an egg. You know how much eggs are now because of President Joe Biden and inflation? Do you know how much a dozen eggs are now, Elaine?
Not quite, but I know you're up to kazoo.
Exactly. Anyway, Elaine walked down memory lane. She remembered me walking out of the federal court in the Gotti trial, but she didn't see Frank Morano on the other side, who was walking arm in arm with every female member of the Gotti family. I don't know. He was free. He was footloose and fancy free, a real Mama Luca at the time, so he wasn't married. He wasn't engaged. But God, my God. The Gotti girls, like, clombed on to the guy. Why do you think that was, huh? Why, because he was demeanor? He was charming? No. They wanted information. He was my producer at that time. That's when I was on in the mornings with Ron Kuby, whose mommy is a commie on WABC, always broadcasting Curtis. So they were like Mata Haris. Yeah, he was showing him a shot of leg. He was getting all excited. He never saw a shot of leg before in his life. And all of a sudden, you know, he was spitting up information. Traditor Judas. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. And I just don't get this. I'm just trying to figure this out. I went to the Tunnel to Tower Run dinner absolutely fabulous the other night at the Marriott Hotel. Frank Siller is the head of that great organization. We advertise heavily here, as we should be. It's a great, great organization. The Stephen Siller Tunnel to Tower Run. I used to do the warm-up speeches, you know, when the group would gather before they'd run through the U-Carry Tunnel. Nobody calls it the U-Carry Tunnel. The Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. Hey, you know, what was it years ago when all of a sudden... Oh, yeah, David Patterson was governor. He decided, oh, we're going to rename it to U-Carry Tunnel. Nobody calls it the U-Carry Tunnel. It's ridiculous. The Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. So I'd be at the start there. This is when runners first gathered up, and then we're going to run through the tunnel and simulate Stephen Siller, who on that day had left work, was off, and then all of a sudden saw the flames sort of rising high in the sky from the World Trade Center, and immediately drove to the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, took his bunker pants and all of his gear, ran through the tunnel into the belly of the beast like so many of us other comrades, and unfortunately, they never even found any remnants of him, not even his DNA. Because so many humans who were there, trapped there, or were running up the staircases to rescue people, were smashed like smithereens. So I'm there, and it's interesting because a lot of people from Staten Island, a lot of people were civil servants, cops, firefighters, in the National Guard, in the military, all serving America, first responders. And they were like gripping my hands. You know, it's like the macho maniacal guy. You know, they grip you, a vice-like grip. And they wouldn't let go because, you know, couldn't let go. People were watching. Who's going to let go first? Tommy there, who's like grimacing as he's holding onto my hand, or Curtis, who only had one hand because my left elbow is still fractured. And it didn't matter to these guys. They're squeezing, squeezing. And you know what it is to be a man's man. You can't let go. No, you can't let go. And I'm thinking, how many times did Frank Morano shake somebody's hands and, you know, they said, man, no calluses on his hand. This guy is soft. The only calluses are on his tuchus, his dupa, from sitting all the time and opining about things in the world. Oh, opining. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. We're going to be talking about so many things coming up until we get to the 5 o'clock hour. And then it's Debbie Valentine who's going to be giving us the hour's worth of news. Got to find out because, you know, I'd be more than happy to do the news with my own slant, my own bias, my own misdirection, my own misinformation. I won't apologize, but I'll do it for the full hour and just continue on because I don't believe that news any longer is given to you straight. There's always a slant to the news, depending on where you're hearing it from, radio, TV, reading about it, online, social networking. Accept it. In foreign countries, you go to South America, you go to Europe, they're straight up. They say, this is a left-wing paper. This is a right-wing paper. This is a left-wing radio station, right-wing radio station, left-wing TV station, right-wing. But oh, no, not in America. Oh, we're all fair and balanced. Bull feathers. Bull feathers. You think Frank Morano is fair and balanced? Please. He goes back to the Gutenberg Press. I mean, he starts probably reading script from the Gutenberg Press because he wants the original copy. You know him. He's got to have that original copy in his hands. Can't have a reproduction. Can't have a Xerox copy. Oh, no, it's got to be the real deal, the real McCoy, the real legit. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Do I get to do the denunciations, denouncements, and declinations today? Is that part of the benchmarks? No, no. Well, what benchmark do I do now? The commendation?
The opposite, the commendations.
I have nobody to give commendations to. Certainly not Frank Morano. Nobody to give commendations to. I'm a curmudgeon. I'm a crabby crumb cake. Not a contrarian like Frank. But please, who am I going to give commendations and salutations and greetings to? Joe Biden, who was telling us a story about the Six-Day War in Israel and how Golda Meir had summoned him from the University of Syracuse as a law student because she said, oh, my God, we're in the midst of the Six-Day War. We need the assistance of our friend in America, Joe Biden. And when he arrived, he sat right next to Rabin. Now, is that bull feathers or what? Golda Meir wasn't even the prime minister then. And some of you say, ah, he's a bit titched. He's U-bots. First wave of dementia, whatever. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. But you saw they double team, and they raised the debt ceiling and deficit ceiling, and I think they're going to keep the government operating on our tax dollars, on borrowed time and borrowed money that our children, children's children, and children's children's children are going to have to pay the vig on. Joe Biden signed it, the president, and it's sort of like, this is how we survive. We survive on money that's being printed up by the Federal Reserve and recycled into the banks. Didn't learn about that until Steve Forbes was a guest on the John Catsimatidis Roundtable last week. Anyway, the national debt is clearly unsustainable. And if you look at Joe Biden's disastrous economic policies, a dollar short and a day late in his first year in office, it's made it even worse. So there's cause and effect. It causes inflation to skyrocket. And if your money is sitting in a traditional retirement account, it's getting eaten away right underneath your schnoz. Gold and precious metals offers a hedge against inflation and protects your retirement. If you have an existing retirement account, you got to roll it into a gold or silver IRA, not like a joint, into an IRA. And you should do so with Legacy Precious Metals. In 2008, you remember, the economy imploded. They gave free money to the big boys on Wall Street who should have gone to jail. And you on Main Street, you got ugats. You got bupkis. You got money that you had to pay a vig on. This is why gold should be a part of every wise investor's portfolio. Legacy is a company you can trust because they give you unbiased counsel based on your individual situation. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. Call 866-932-0635. That's 866-932-0635. Or visit legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
You're hearing things on 77 WABC. Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, riding down Santa Claus Lane.
Oh, I hate Elvis Presley. I really, you know, just because he was a Shabbos goy in Tupelo, Mississippi, and would light the burners for the Jewish merchant down the block who had the dry goods store, and then tear up, that's right, the toilet paper, because you weren't permitted to do that. So he would tear up the toilet paper for them. Just like former Secretary of State General Colin Powell, who recently passed away, he was a Chavez goy in the South Bronx when he went to Morris High School. He would do exactly the same chores for observant Jews on Chavez. But I hate Elvis Presley. He had the Dixie Mafia, you know, all martial artists. I know them. I met many of them. I hate them all. So please don't play that song, because I'll have anger management issue right here. Come right behind that skin and choke the life out of you. Do I make myself clear?
Crystal.
No. I don't have any crystal. No. I don't go that way. I don't collect crystal. I don't juggle crystals near Santa Fe, New Mexico, like Oprah and all her followers, you know, because they're new agers. They talk about a different age. I gave you all the bad news about modern-day couples here. They're having babies later. They're shacking up. They're living common law. They're not getting hooked up. You know, my mother would say to me, do you love her? Do you love her? Francesca, she would say, do you love her? I'd say, yeah, I love her. Well, you got to do the right thing. You got to marry her. Oh, I can't blame my mother for that, but that's why I became a serial marrier. But anyway, I want to give tribute to the old age of radio, where we didn't have people like Frank Morano or Andrew Giuliani or Craig Kelly busting their buttons and bridges with pride about bringing new babies into the world. I want to take you back to a time when I was listening to radio, talk radio. WMCA was the big talker in the 60s. And in mid-mornings, yeah, I like that harp. As I'm transported back on the time machine, it's the theater of the mind. I remember a jolly old Irishman there, Malachy McCourt. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think his brother was a writer of great esteem. I think Malachy had a gin mill. Anyway, the point was, they'd oftentimes have on guests Jerry Stillen and Mara. I think they were married for like 60 years. You know, if you added up all of my marriages together, they wouldn't even approach like 30 years, never mind 60 years. This couple, Jerry Stiller and Ann Mara, were like married 60 years until, I think Ann Mara died first and then Jerry. I may be incorrect about that. And they both were birthed in Brooklyn, proving that like one out of every seven Americans has spent some time in Brooklyn. Not Queens, not the Bronx, not Manhattan, and certainly not Staten Italy. But spent time in Brooklyn before they moved on. I think Ann Mara moved to Rockville Center. I don't know where Jerry Stiller went. Probably the Upper West Side. I stand to be corrected on that. But they got married when I was born, 1954. And I think they were on Ed Sullivan more times than Topo Gigio, the little Italian mice. I think so. I think like, well, it's good luck for Jews, 18. So let's times it by 2, 36. So 18 for Ann Mara, 18 for Jerry Stiller, that's 36. That's double the good luck. I think they were on 36 times with Ed Sullivan. Now, if you remember, he recently passed on also. But Topo Gigio, I wonder how many times Topo Gigio, the little Italian mouse, was on. Because I remember as a kid. Remember there was the movie? Hey, Frank Morano is listening now. These are the movies you want to show your kids so you don't spoil his mind. Carmine, who's now 16 pounds after 10 days being in this world. You show him the magic world of Topo Gigio. I remember seeing that movie. And then there was the other movie, Topo Gigio and the Missile, which was about the Cold War in the 60s. You know, between JFK and Khrushchev. It was the predecessor to Failsafe with Henry Fonda and whoever it is that was playing Nikita Khrushchev. Yeah, Topo Gigio and the Missile. That's how I learned about the Cold War. And I would hope that Frank Morano would play the magic world of Topo Gigio. But does anybody out there know how many times the little Italian mouse, Topo Gigio, appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show? Because I believe the combination of Stiller and Mara, 36 times. It's got to be a world record. I think Jackie Mason maybe appeared 6 times, and then he got fired. I think Ed Sullivan threw him off the stage and told him, hey, don't even come back when Steve Colbert is on this stage. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Mark in Garden City. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Marky Mark.
Curtis, how are you? Well, I'm not supposed to ask you that. I'm sorry. I'll just say, hi, Curtis. You have to forgive me. I'm a Frank Morano listener, so, you know, I make mistakes like that.
No, you're being honest. So, naturally, yeah. I'm not going to lecture you about the rules and regulations of talk radio callers. Admitting that you are a frequent listener to Frank Morano means that you're special, Ed, so I forgive you.
Well, I really appreciate that, Curtis. Curtis, you have any idea, you may not know, but do you have any idea why Frankie Russo is not on this weekend? Instead, we had Frank Morano reruns.
No. It's Frank Morano, you know, he's milking the paternity train. So I think this is a way that they just extract more time from Frank Morano. Yeah, I have no idea. Anyway, let's go to Mike in New Hyde Park. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Mikey.
Curtis, like, look, I respect the work that you do and the things you've done in civil service, but when you use the term goy, this is my first point, that's just as offensive. I'm a Roman Catholic. That's just as offensive as me saying kike. It's a bit bullyish.
Now, wait a second. Hold on a second, Mike. What about when you're listening to Cousin Brucey, calls everybody cousins, and he talks about Goya? I mean, Goya is spelled G-O-Y, Goy, with an A, right?
Fine. We can get into the minutia, but I'm just referring to that term. It's offensive. I would never. I have Jewish friends. I would never call them a kike or a heeb or whatever. So when you say goy, it's equally offensive.
Well, hold on a second. Let me. Gee, I wish I was part of a minion this morning when I get off. I'll consult, you know, the rabbis, if I can participate in the minyan, if I could read the Talmud and the Torah, is that they call me goy, goyim, right? Is that offensive, ladies and gentlemen? Because I get called that a lot. Man, I'm in Borough Park, and a lot of the Bucha boys, they'll say, oh, the goy is here, the goy in the red beret. Is that a bad word? Or I'm in Kew Gardens in Queens or Riverdale in the Bronx. Or I'm in Flatbush or Midwood. Or I'm up there in Williamsburg or Crown Heights. Yeah, I still couldn't believe Crown Heights, the Lubavitchers went with Eric Adams. Not me. Did you forget about what I did 30 years ago with the Guardian Angel? Of course they forgot about it. And I get called Goy there too. And I truly believe that that's how Goya came about. The product, think of it, Goy, G-O-Y, and then they attached an A to it. That's how you have the worldwide famous product known as Goya Beans and other Goya products. Should we take offense that the name of the company in Secaucus, New Jersey, with their international headquarters and warehouse, is called Goy? 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Oh, and here's Laura, who's still on the line. Oh, you have the answer to Bedtime for Bonzo, Laura?
Hi. Hi.
Yes, yes, Frank Morano, yes. Listener. Yes, hello.
Hi. It's Ronald Reagan, one of our greatest presidents. I enjoy listening to you when I do Frank Morano. So I wish his wife would have more babies so he could stay on the line.
And then, Laura, you do realize we got the answer like a half hour ago. You do know that.
But I want to get my 2 cents in it.
Well, you got your 2 cents plain in. There's no doubt about it. But we already got the answer, Laura. You know, you're cheating.
I know that I enjoy you better than...
Wait. Laura, you're cheating. Because we already got the answer. And the fact that we got the answer and you waited a half hour later like I'm some kind of schmuck or putz and I wouldn't realize, you're trying to double dip. You see, Laura's trying to double dip. We asked for who appeared in Bedtime for Bonzo. And the other question I asked that has not been answered is, what was the monkey's name in Bedtime for Bonzo? You think Laura would have known that? No, she's listening now so she could steal the answer and then maybe call back in an hour and think we're all stung God. Like, we're not going to know? 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Diane in Brooklyn. Your turn to be heard here on WABC, Diane.
Okay, hi. Okay, Goy is, well... It's not really an offensive term. It stands for goyim, which means greater, the greater amount. I mean, there are very few Jews in the world relative to Christians, right, or any other type of religion.
That's for sure.
So goy is just a shortening of gedolim, or it just means that you're the majority. That's all. I mean, you know, of course you could be offended by it because it does connotate that there's a difference, and if you're, you know, if that will offend you, whatever. So
yeah. Well, how about this,
Diane? It just means Yes.
How about we change the G for Goy to J for joy? Big, right? Hey, there goes the joy. There goes the joy.
That's funny. There you go. There you go. Although it wasn't a joy so many times, like in the Inquisition and all that.
Oh, and you know, wait a second. Now that you bring up the Inquisition of Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand, where it was either convert or off with your head if you're a Jew.
Well, actually, they burned you off. They burned people at the stake. Or they would, like, people would run into a building, and then they would, like, keep them and lock them up in there and burn the building down. You know,
no, you're absolutely right. But the ones who decided to convert, do you know what they were called?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, a lot of them, well, it was a superficial conversion because they were secret Jews. They were, I know it. Wait a second. Having a senior moment.
Joe Biden.
Moranos.
That's right, Moranos. So
Moranos.
That's how Frank Morano's family came about. Were you aware of that?
Actually, I had asked him that one time, and he said that there was no connection.
Oh, he's lying. He's lying. He's a prevaricator. Let me tell you about this story, because I had a long conversation with his dad. Who at one time was in the health insurance business. And so I was saying, not for nothing, is your family originally, you know, were they closer to Madrid or Barcelona? Because, you know, Caledonia, I was sort of like, maybe they were Basques. So I figured I would, without being very direct, I would just be sort of directional in terms of geography. And he slipped for a moment. He said, oh, yeah, we were up near the Basque area. I said, oh, okay. And then I said, is that why your last name is Morano? Is that originally you had braces, they were able to find you out by dropping your drawers that you were, in fact, a Jew? And rather than get executed in the Inquisition or being forced to go out with Christopher Columbus on the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa, or the Maria, going west to find Asia, China, you converted and you became a Morano. And he wouldn't answer that question. So, which indicates to me, Diane, that that's how that part of the Morano family came about.
Well, actually, the Moranos, they couldn't teach their children anything about the religion because it would be too easy for a child to, you know, to expose what he was. So they say that in Argentina, there are a lot of Catholic women who put out on Friday nights, they'll put out a white tablecloth and light candles, and they don't know why they did it except their mothers did it and their mother's mother did it, and it goes back. So, you know, they're probably Jewish and don't even know
just,
it.
Just to let you know, that's what Frank's mother did for years. No, it's true, Diane. His mother would do that for years. And never seemed to understand why, because it wasn't part of the Roman Catholic tradition. So you see,
so he's not a goy.
No, he's not a goy. He in fact was born of a Jewish mother. He won't acknowledge that because, you know, out in Staten Island, everyone's Italian or Roman Catholic. You know, you mentioned the Pope and they start to bow and curtsy in the streets. So he doesn't want to be on the outside looking in. He doesn't want to move over to the Willowbrook section, which is where most of the Jewish community lives on Staten Island. So he is the complete definition of a Morano.
You're too much. Oh, by the way, I voted for you.
Why didn't you vote twice, three times, or four times? I might be mayor now.
I know. Oh, my God.
It's quite all right. Guy, I got to think about that now. And my own wife, Nancy, didn't vote for me. Today, we talked to her. She voted for Gizmo Sliwa. Write-in ballot, she wrote Gizmo Sliwa. Nobody would have written Sliwa. That was the telltale mark, the telltale proof that when she voted, the same moment I voted, when they prevented Gizmo from coming in. So while I was distracted because I was arguing with the Board of Elections, those corrupt, inefficient, incompetent persons, both Democrats and Republicans. She knew that I had shade on my face at that moment, so I was busy. So what did she do? She wrote in Gizmo Sliwa. That's what I got to deal with in my house. Let's go to Josh in Rockland County. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Josh.
Yeah, goy is not an offensive thing. It depends what you say before and after it. Goy means a nation. Goy means a lot of nations. And we use it because goy means someone strange. But if you say you're a nice goy, then it's good. But if you say you're a bad goy, it's not like the word itself is something offensive or anything like that.
So that guy was calling up before. He was pulling my chain, right?
He was doing some Yiddish shtick, probably, on you.
Yeah, Yiddish shtick. I like that. Now, Josh, you as a Jewish man of intelligence and integrity, one of the few who would actually listen to Frank Morano, because you don't have to be Mensa to listen to the Frank Morano show. But you do know that his name is derived from those who would give in during the Inquisition to Queen Isabella and Ferdinand, King Ferdinand's troops, as opposed to going to Hashem's side without becoming utraditor. He decided to convert.
I actually thought about it yesterday, about his name, and then I thought, you know what? He still does that. He goes a little bit, he gives in to the left also, so he probably has it in the family genes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, who is he, really, seriously? Who is he? He's all over the map. He's a Morano. I call him a moron, but if you want to add the O, he's a Morano. And he was spotted. He was spotted. I told you he's milking this paternity train for all the money he can get. He was spotted, of all places, the real dive, the Golden Nugget Casino in Atlantic City on Saturday. The Golden Nugget. Isn't that near the marina? And, I mean, he was there, right? Oh, my God. He's playing Texas Hold'em. And he was losing. He lost his BVDs. Then he goes to the roulette wheel, loses there. Then he's playing craps with all the money he's getting for milking the paternity system that should never exist. Because his hero is Boudichet, 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 Boudichet.
Tonight, I'm delighted, and I know you're delighted, to welcome Topo Gigio back from Italy to New York City. So let's have a nice welcome for a little Topo.
Welcome back. Welcome
Daddy,
back, Topo.
I haven't seen you in such a long, long time.
Oh.
Eddie?
Yeah?
Quick, kiss me hello.
Topo, what? I want to ask you a question. What's all this stuff around here?
Oh, see, I'm making a picture album.
Oh.
Guess who?
Now, that was the great Topo Gigio. I believe he had more appearances on the Ed Sullivan Show than even Stella and Mara. Yes, Jerry Stiller and Ann Mara. I think they had 36 appearances. Remember, 18 times 2 is 36, the double lucky number. But from what province, from what provincia did Topo Gigio come from? Did he come from Siciliano? Was he a Zip or a Cheech from Sicily? Did he come from Naples, a Napolitano, and become a hairstylist? Was he Calabrese with a hard head? Was he from Bari with ice in his pockets? Was he from Roma? Or was he up north, you know, from Trieste and Trent and all full of himself, claiming, oh, I'm not really Italian. I'm Austrian. I'm Hungarian. Yeah, sure you are. Let's go to the phones. It's Norman from Brooklyn. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Norman.
Yeah, hi, Curtis. As the last Jew in Canarsie, I would like to expound upon the usage of the term goy. In my little tribal neighborhood here, as you know, the neighborhood at one time was about 50% Italian and 50% Jewish, with a smattering of others. my parents, for example, would not use the term goy for your mother, for example. That for your mother, they would use the term, who was Italian, they would use the term luxe or luxion for plural, because luxe meant noodles. Okay, so my next door neighbor, the Soleros, my father would say, oh, the luxion that lived next door. Goy was used for the others, i.e. the smattering of Irish, Germans, Polish, that were in Canarsie.
Oh, let's not forget the Dutch Reform, the few remaining relatives of Peter Stuyvesant.
Oh, we don't know about those people. Yeah, they were very few of those. I mean, those people, whatever, they made their fortunes and moved to Manhattan by the time, whatever. I didn't know any Van Dams or anything in my neighborhood.
But you said noodles. My mother, on occasion, would buy Muller's noodles, which was considered udisgraziata in an Italian family. You know, it was either Ronzoni or Buitoni. But maybe that's why, because...
Here's the deal. The Italians were considered Catholic Jews. Seriously, they were very inclusive. Like, we didn't really consider you guys foreign, okay? We just sort of, because you guys, we all came over around the same time, late 19th century. We kind of all lived together. We didn't really have many problems with each other.
No, Italians and Jews always got along. We both hated the Irish.
Right, right. And the Irish were, in Canarsie anyway, were like the outsiders. You know, like they were the goyim. They were the outsiders.
They were the cops.
I mean, I was friends with everybody.
Yeah, they were the cops.
You know, I mean, at least that's the way I saw it. My mother would never refer to a Italian as a goy. They were a luxion. I mean, they were different. They weren't Jews, but they were a little closer.
Yeah. No. Definitely. No doubt. Italians and Jews, they had so many similar characteristics. For instance,
right,
you couldn't leave an Italian household or a Jewish household without the Bubi or Zeta filling up your paper bag with all kinds of food and goodies and always sitting down and saying, eat more, eat more, eat more.
Right.
In the Irish families or the WASP families, they would say, eating too much. You're pigging out. Don't make a pig out of yourself.
And your lives were also done with guilt. Guilt was a large part of the manipulation of the Italian home and the Eastern European Jewish home.
Yes, a lot of guilt. Oh, my God. That's why I got married so many times. My mother, Francesca, would say, do you love her, Curtis? And I said, yes. Well, then you have to do the right thing. You got to marry them. You know, I fell out of love with them 2 days later, but I felt like I couldn't lie to my mother, right? My booby, my Zeta, you can't do that. Norman, he brings back those old days. Anyway, ask the Curtis Lieber Booby Prize. Don't ask, don't tell, because we throw nickels around like manhole covers. And if you're lucky enough to win, you get my belly button lint sent to you in a WABC hermetically sealed envelope. The question was, how many times did Topo Gigio, the Italian, the little Italian Miles, appear on Ed Sullivan? Let's see his, what is that, whatever. Has to say in Brooklyn. What's your name?
FBIG. I met you at the Pomegranates when you were running for mayor in front of the supermarket. And I'm calling in behalf to tell you that Topo Gigio showed up more than 50 times at the Ed Sullivan show.
More than 50 times. And then Jackie Mason, what? He showed up 6 times and then Ed Sullivan banned him from Ed Sullivan, right?
Yeah, somewhat like that. That's what you said.
Wow. Over 50 times, little Topo Gigio.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, there are movies, 2 movies. I think it is imperative that Frank Morano introduce young Carmine in. And by the way, young Carmine went from 13 pounds to 16 pounds in just 10 days. That's a lot of pomegranate there.
Yeah, a lot of sugar. He has to watch that diet.
Yeah, I'm telling you. But this is amazing. This is amazing because there were 2, count them, 2 movies that little Topo Gigio was in. 1, Topo Gigio versus the Missiles, because it was right in the midst of the Cold War crisis between the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev, who had taken his shoe off in the General Assembly at the UN and was pounding on the table, "We will bury you! We will bury you!" And who went to war against Nikita Khrushchev? It was Rocket J, Squirrel, and Bullwinkle. Yes. And remember, who was the evil one? The Soviet, Boris, and Natasha. Oh, we learned about that from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Hey, Curtis, I actually have some interesting stats here. I found out who was the most frequent guest on the Ed Sullivan Show was.
Well, we know it wasn't Jackie Mason. No, he got booted off.
No, only one person, only one performer beat Topo Gigio in appearances.
Who the hell was that?
The comedy team of Wayne and Schuster. They were on the Ed Sullivan Show 58 times. Topo Gigio appeared exactly 50 times.
No, wait. Wayne and Schuster?
Wayne and Schuster.
God, that's the kind of comedy that Frank Morano would like. Corny. Corny, like hee-haw comedy.
Like hee-haw comedy, that's right.
Hell yeah, that hillbilly comedy. You know, Frank could probably get a good belly laugh out of that. Well, you had to appeal to the hillbillies because that was like part of the country, you know, south of the Mason-Dixon line where they kept flying the stars and bars, the flag of treason, the Johnny Reb flag. You know, you got to appease, you know, the Southerners there. You know, the Jerry Lee Lewis, Great Balls of Fire. Oh, that's right. We're getting married at 13. Oh, Elvis, too. Yeah, snacking on the little ones. That's right. I hate Elvis. I really do. I mean, please, don't be playing that Elvis Jingle Bell stuff any longer. And it's Memphis Mafia there. Up next, though, talked about the IRS and how President Joe Biden and the Democrats wanted to hire all those IRS agents to extract moolah shmoolah, shekels, shimolies from you. Well, I'm going to play you some cuts, a blast from the past of how people used to get paralyzed by the mere mentioning that the IRS might want to audit you. And you know the whales are protected, the uber rich, but not the middle class and the lower middle class.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Who is it, Mariano Rivera coming out of the bullpen or Wagner? Wagner. I just don't get this song, man. You know what? I want you to come in with a different theme for him. We are an American band. We are an American band. I mean, that's, you want to be heavy metal, original heavy metal, you got to come up with that song. The next time we come back, please.
Absolutely. We have it. We'll do it.
Because that should be Frank Morano's theme song. It really should. Because this guy is so hackneyed. He's so old school. He's like, goes back to the time when they first invented the phonograph, the first vinyl.
You know what kind of music Frank really loves? He plays it on the show. We get a big kick out of it. He loves bluegrass music.
Yeah, because he's like a hillbilly. He loves hillbillies. He lives on the South Shore of Staten Island. That's where lives the hillbillies, I'm telling you. Trust me, I want Staten Island. I know who voted for me there, the hillbillies. But let's talk about whether you are rich, wealthy, middle class, lower middle class, hillbilly, Yankee, it doesn't matter. You just mentioned the IRS and people cringe, especially if you get that letter in which they say they want you to come in because they want to audit you. You know, this isn't like Scientology, you know, wanting to audit you and then all of a sudden wanting you to pay tens of thousands of dollars to go through all the different levels of Scientology so that one day you too could be Tom Cruise. No. Or John Travolta. No. We're talking about an audit by the IRS. It sends chills. Not of joy, not of nauseous, but of sorrow, of grief. Democrats, have decided they want to dramatically expand the size and power of the IRS. In fact, they want to create an IRS that will excessively audit, harass, and intrude into the lives of not the rich and the wealthy, the whales. Yeah, they're protected. They have a phalanx of accountants and lawyers. They're going to find every tax shelter they can be paid to find. It's going to be you, the middle class, the upper middle class, the lower middle class who get screwed. The Democrats want to spend $80 billion in funding over the next decade and deploy 87,000 new IRS agents and auditors. $45 billion of the new funding is devoted to enforcement, 23 times greater than funding devoted to taxpayer services like pre-filing assistance and education. Nothing. Filing and account services, nothing. And taxpayer advocacy service, nothing. Forget H&R Block. You're on your own. Do it turbo. What is that, TurboTax? I want to take you back in the time machine. I've been taking you back in the time machine to probably what was the greatest TV program of all time. Without a doubt. The Honeymooners. Jackie Gleason, Art Carney, and their wives, Jane Meadows, I think it was.
Audrey Meadows.
Jane
and
Meadows.
And Joyce Randolph.
Joyce Randolph. Yeah, you would know that, you young Huckleberry. You're probably as old a curmudgeon as Frank Morano himself. And what neighborhood did they live in?
They lived in Brooklyn on Chauncey Street, if I'm...
Well, very good. Wow. Something in the air here with Frank Morano's staff. God... Anything new, hip, happening? I don't know. I watch the Honeymooner reruns every night. But anyway, you want to know what fear of the IRS is? Because back in the 50s, let's face it, people were not making much money at all. So an audit by the IRS might mean like, what, $40 you got to pay? And that was considered a lot of money back then. Let's go to Jackie Gleason and Art Carney talking about how Jackie Gleason desperately needs his whole deduction.
Listen, Ralph, probably the only thing you did was deduct something that you shouldn't have. So now you have to pay tax on that deduction. They're just going to take the money out of your refund.
Oh, is that all they're going to do? They're just going to take it out of my refund. It so happens, Alice, that I was planning on that refund in its entirety. I need all of the refund, all $42. I can't afford to let any of the $42 go.
Why? Because he wanted to go on a fishing trip. Alice wasn't all that thrilled because they would have a poop tent out there. And she was wondering, gee, if you pay more money, do you get a larger snake in your poop tent than the smaller snake we had last year? Classic. Then talking about what the biggest fear that most Americans have. And it's not January 6th and the investigation going up in the halls of Congress. No. It's an investigation by the IRS.
Can't you realize I'm in serious trouble? The government is investigating me.
So they're investigating. What are you getting excited about? Be calm. Will you be calm?
And then all of a sudden, Norton, Ed Norton from the Fight Club, right? Ed Norton, right? Oh, no. The sanitation engineer, Norton, right. Not Ed Norton, who punched himself into that trophy glass. One of the great movies. Who was that with Pretty Boy? He was married to Mother Earth with her 52 children there.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, Brad Pitt. From Nowhere, Missouri. He's out there where Tony Orlando does his program from. That's where he's from. But anyway, I divert. So all of a sudden, Norton is not all that consoling to Jackie Gleason, who thinks he's going to get jammed up for white-collar crime and maybe be in the federal pen.
You realize how serious this is? They're investigating me.
Ralph, being investigated is not the end of the world. You are not the first person who was ever investigated.
You're darn right. The jails are full of them. All right.
Our number is 1-800-848-9222. Admit, isn't that the way you feel? Whenever you get an advisory, a note, a letter from the IRS, and it's not a refund check, but it's got a lot of that governmental mumbo-jumbo language that scares you, thinking, oh, my God, they're going to audit me. 1-800-848-WABC. And I know that some of you have had experiences with an IRS agent in which you had to account for every nickel, dime, and penny you had, and you degenerate gamblers. You had to account for all your winnings. So they wouldn't let you deduct your losings. No, you're a sucker. You lose the money. You don't get to deduct them. But your winnings? Oh, no, no, no. You're going to pay full taxes on that, pal. Anyway, good night's sleep is certainly not going to solve Ralph Cramden's jitters about having to appear at the IRS.
Whatever it is you did wrong, Ralph, you'll find out tomorrow. And losing a night's sleep is not going to help the matter any.
Oh, I suppose getting a night's sleep is going to fix everything up fine. Sure, I'll go down there tomorrow and they'll say, Mr. Cramden, did you get a good night's sleep? And I'll say, sure. He says, well, that's fine. Let's call off the whole investigation. They're not interested in sleep. Their job is taxes. They're not going to send me to jail for insomnia.
They're not going to send you to jail, Ralph.
Oh, listen to Chief Justice Alice Cramden.
There were no female Chief Justices then, were there? But you see, they were ahead of their time. On Chauncey Street. And then he was Jackie Gleason. You know, they have a statue of Jackie Gleason in front of the bus terminal, MTA, money-taking Asian bus agency bus terminal in Sunset Park. And they got a statue of Jackie Gleason in front of the Port Authority, where all the guys are shooting up every day. You know, they're trying to find a vein in their neck, and they're leaning right up to Jackie Gleason. Right next to the Port Authority on 42nd off of 8th Avenue, across from the old great lady, the New York Times. 1-800-848-9222. And then here was Ralph Cramden reading the voluminous tax code that all Americans are under submission to.
Here it is.
What?
Penalty for failing to report income. All persons are required under this title to pay an estimated tax or tax, or are required by this title or by regulations made under authority thereof to make a return other than a return required under authority of Section 6015 or Section 6016, keep any records or supply any information, and who willfully fails to pay such estimated tax or tax, make such return, keep such records, or supply such information.
Boy, Ralph, it sounds like you are in trouble.
Trouble? I don't even know what I'm talking about. What am I?
It's all legalese. Those liars for hire, they use all those fancy $5 words, those multi-syllabic words, so that only they have their own little private club. You don't even understand what's going on. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. And then finally, Norton comes up with an excuse mechanism for Jackie Gleason, if in case they want to throw the IRS rule book at him.
Are you nuts or something? Stand on the 18th Amendment? You mean stand on the 5th Amendment. The 18th Amendment was for prohibition.
Well, that's just what I mean. Tell them you were drunk when you made that attack.
And to the phones we go. Let's go to Frankie Boy in Pelham Bay. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Frankie Boy.
Hey, Curtis. Last time I saw you, you were with Jet Set Juliet. It was a remote luncheon on the west side. I forget the name of the Italian restaurant. Very good. I had a great time. Anyway, concerning the Memphis Mafia, the only one left today is Jerry Schilling. The rest of them are all gone.
Gone.
But thank God we're still here.
Now, you know, they used to be the henchmen for Elvis Presley. They'd go out and bend legs and stuff them into people's pockets.
Yeah, that happened. All right, bud.
No,
have
no.
A good one.
I appreciate it. Hey, see, Frank, he truncated it. It was short, sweet, to the point. Unlike typical Frank Morano callers who go on and on and nauseam, they like to hear themselves talk. They say nothing about nothing. But Frankie Boy was right to the point. Thank you, Frankie. Anyway, let's go to Bill calling from Huntington. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Billy?
Hey, Curtis. You're saying that Murano means the same thing as converso?
Yeah, in a way.
The converted Jews?
Yeah.
Then you have it backwards, because the Spanish Inquisition, they wanted to burn the converted Jews because they called them heretics, because they said they secretly were practicing Jewish rituals.
You see, Bill, you couldn't be more hopelessly wrong, Bill. Well, what schools did you go to, Bill? This will be my inquisition of you. What high school did you go to, Bill?
Walt Whitman High School.
Oh, wow.
And then I went to...
That was a real elite high school, wasn't it? Walt Whitman, that sounds like a vocational high school.
No, it's down the street from my house.
Yeah, so you walked one block. Wow, that was heavy lifting, right? What did you carry? Any books? Look at this. This is a typical Murano caller. You deal with them with facts. You know, like he comes up with all this, they were burned at the stake like Joan of Arc, right? Yeah. He's been watching too many Joan of Arc reruns. And all of a sudden, because they were secretly practicing their Jewish rituals, blah, 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 that's why they were burned at the stake. Then I asked him for his documentary evidence, right? Nothing. I said, what high school did you go to, pal? He hesitated. Walt Whitman. It's probably a vocational high school, right? Nothing wrong with that. But he couldn't even man up and admit that. He had to admit like a real Mama Luke. It was only a block away from his house. Can you imagine this guy?
We walked 15 miles in the snow to...
Exactly. One block. My God. And you know, he wasn't carrying a loose leaf book, that's for sure. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Steve in the Bronx. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Steve.
So I was born in 1954, Curtis, and I I've been a long-time listener to you. I mean... Well, I'm glad you're back. I mean, so anyway, there's a special on about you on television right now. It's called the Curtis Sliwa Story. And it's an hour and a half of good stuff. They're like half over, though, because they put me on hold forever.
Wait a second. Steve, hey, guys, why don't you take over the show? I want to see myself, because I've probably seen this documentary like 50 times. Steve, it's exciting, isn't it?
It says here how Lisa took over after 2 years, and made you go in the Bramble to dress up, and you were thugs and vigilantes. Ed Koch hated you. You were known as the Rock long before what's his name,
you're correct. Rocky Stallone, right before Rock Bottom, before Dwayne Johnson.
McMahon's Rock, you know, that Rock.
Yes, exactly. Dwayne Johnson, right?
You knew the Clash, and you sang on Train in Vain.
Yeah, the Clash, Red Angel Dragon, was done by the Clash in honor of the Guardian Angels. They used to sit in the Lower East Side on St. Mark's and Avenue A at some of those cafes, and they would write their music, and they saw us going back and forth patrolling, and they wrote that in tribute to the Guardian Angels.
Well, there you go. Now, I don't have a song, but you passed me on the train once.
Oh, once. Do you remember what month, what day, what year that was, Steve?
No, I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at your men. You had like 8-7 guys with you, and I thought you were cruising the train. But that was me, you know.
I understand. Do you remember which train it was? Was it a number train or a letter train?
It was the number 2, which was mentioned on this thing. You said that the number 2 was a special train.
It was the beast. The number 4 train was the Muggers Express. The number 2 train was the beast. You are extraordinarily cogent, Steve. You were able to multitask. You can't be a Frank Morano listener. You're watching the Curtis Lewa documentary. Well,
Summer's gone. Summer's is gone. So, you know, they have women on the radio all the time now. So now I listen to Frank Morano.
Yeah. No, I understand it.
You know, there's a flying saucer right by my window right now, Curtis. You don't want to talk. Train. I rode the 2 train. I'm the same. I'm 67 years old, and I rode the 2 train. Probably, according to this special, when you made the 2 train safe for me. But before that, too, I went to Spelman in 72, and I won't tell you who I knew at Spelman. But anyway, the thing is, I think my cogency is melting.
Now, you didn't know Cardinal Spelman, did you?
No, he was a wax thing by the time I got there. And he had his room. He had a room, and it was somehow notorious, but the Irish guys would never explain why.
Well, come on, man. Don't you know the story of Cardinal Spelman?
Well, you know, I think it's...
Hey, there was a swinging soiree going on. Cardinal Spelman and J. Edgar Hoover. You know, they had this... They had this, what did we call it, a proclivity to wear dresses.
They had a, like a lotto or something, or what do they call it, bingo or games in the club.
Yeah, no, you'd be riding around, right, singing B-I-N-G-O, 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 and bingo was his name.
You know,
See, he's still talking. He has, this guy, this is a Frank Morano listener. He went to Cardinal Spelman High School up in the Bronx. He had to run for his life because, you know, that was right near Edgemere. No, not Edgemere. That's the Rockaways. You see, you got me confused. Gun Hill Road. Edenwald, the projects there where the precinct is. If you went to Spelman, you had to run for your life, right? I bet you there are some Spelman graduates out there probably a month or Sundays ago. Had to run for your life through Edenwald, right? That guy's probably still talking. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Who sings this?
Bobby Helms.
You know what? Why don't you file this in the round filing cabinet? You know, wherever you keep your musical arrangements for Xmas, Christmas, whatever you call it, the holidays. So lame. So, like, totally not with it. So not hip. So not happening. So Frank Morano. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Jimmy, who's calling from New Hampshire, the Granite State, live free or die, and all that stuff. Your turn to be heard, Jim.
Curtis, I thought you were a law enforcement guy. The IRS has been so understaffed for years. I'm a 34-year veteran. I just retired. We can't go after people that are already known tax cheats. We just let them go. Billions of dollars go out the door. Nobody's out to harass the average bus driver. We just want to go out and collect from people that are already delinquents.
You do realize that many Americans, not all Americans, perceive of you as being snoops.
We're not. We have very, very strict rules about what we're able to access, the type of data we're allowed to collect. And if you violate that, you get fired or go to jail. We get cases that are assigned to us through a system of identifying tax cheats. That's it. Nobody's going after Ralph Cramden. Nobody cares. We don't have the resources. I was a manager. I had 22 people working for me. When I retired, I had 6. we just let people go all the time. We need more people.
Now, how come the wealthy, the whales, the super rich, the uber rich, the 1%ers, they're able to hire a phalanx of accountants and liars for hire that protect them, right?
Those are the laws. Change the laws. Get rid of the loopholes or whatever. But, and the rich pay their fair share, believe me. They just,
but question, right. But question, Jim, when you were on to a whale, a uber rich person, what kind of tricks would they use to try to throw you off the trail?
Oh, they put their money offshore. They put it in bogus trusts. They set up LLCs. There are a million ways. Of course they dodge. But that's why we need more people to investigate things like that.
What does it require for you to be found guilty of breaking those IRS rules that Ralph Cramden was reading about in order to earn jail time? What do you really have to do when violating the IRS rules and regulations to land yourself in federal jail?
Well, that's the first thing. You have to be a high profile. We target people that we think that the United States attorney will go after because it'll have what's called jury appeal. We want to make examples out of these people. We wouldn't put Ralph Cramden in jail because it wouldn't have public appeal. Nobody. Who do you know, Curtis, who's gone to jail for tax evasion? Do you know anybody?
Yeah, I do. I came from Canarsie. It was like in their blood. They didn't pay taxes, these wise guys, Jim.
Okay, well, were the wise guys actually criminals, or were they just bus drivers who didn't report $40?
No, you know what would happen, Jim. You would have an organized crime investigation by the FBI. Back then it was called Forever Busting Italians. So they couldn't get them on the murder, the extortion, the racketeering, the arson. But, you know, it goes back to how they got Al Capone, tax rap.
So what's wrong with that, Curtis?
Oh, no, I don't have a problem with that. I don't. But now let's take my grandfather, who couldn't read, who couldn't write, who was from Bari, Italy, who would hide all of his money in the Medaglia d'Oro can and bury it next to the fig tree. And I would say, Pops, why are you hiding your money there? He said, the IRS is coming for you. You see what they did to Capone? You see?
Curtis, 34 years on the job, I never did anything like that. We go after people that we know aren't paying their fair share, as the Democrats love to say.
Now, when you would actually find, get the goods on them, and they were cold busted, and you had all the evidence, what would they have to forfeit or give up in order to make amends if they weren't being sent to jail?
They'd have to pay whatever they can pay. We would seize real estate. We'd seize bank accounts. Whatever we would find. File liens. We'd garnish wages. Whatever it takes. You got to pay your fair share if you're stone cold busted. But if you're stone cold busted, it's because you've broken the law. You don't want the tax laws, don't have them. That's all well and good. But if you have the laws, you need the people to enforce them.
Okay, so let me ask you on behalf of Frank Morano's who this program is. If you know anything about Frank, Jim, he is a degenerate gambler of the worst type. Gambles away money that he does not even have, does not have access to. He was just seen at the Golden Nugget on Saturday. You know, he's milking this paternity train like Boudiger because he just had a new kid. And he is a perpetual loser. I mean, the guy can't win at craps, blackjack, Texas Hold'em, you name it. What does he have to declare as a gambler?
Well, I forget the dollar amount, but they'll give him a 1099 at the casino when he cashes in.
for, I don't know, probably over 1,000. And,
well, I guess, Jim, he would never have to worry about that because he's always a loser. Can he? No, he's lost a lot of money. Can he write off losses, or it's just tough nuggets?
You can write off your losses up to the amount of your winnings.
Oh, but since he's never won at these games of chance,
unless he declares himself a professional gambler. And that's really tough to prove.
Oh no, this guy.
There are some professional gamblers.
Oh yeah,
they do it for a living.
Yeah, my wife, she watches those programs, you know, with the guys in Macau, or they're in some of the Caribbean casinos, or they're out in Nevada, and you know they're gambling for high stakes. So guys like that who are quote professional gamblers, then
they can deduct their losses.
Wow. Because that's their profession. So you mean if Frank Morano anoints himself a professional gambler, even though he loses, he can't even win, I mean, even when the deck is stacked in his favor. No, he might as well be a professional gambler because every dollar, nickel, dime that comes in goes right out the door to AC. This guy loves Atlantic City. If he's not at the Golden Nugget, he's at Borgata, Harrah's, the resorts, the Trop. You have to designate yourself a professional gambler?
Yeah, and then if you get audited, you have to prove it.
Wow, this would be an interesting thing. You know, now that he has a kid, he's got to be a bit frugal. I don't have to tell you what degenerate gamblers are like. They can't help themselves.
Oh, I know many of them.
Yeah. I think we all got to come together. We got to make a New Year's resolution to try to get Frank Morano to break this habit. You know, 1-800-GAMBLERS-ANONYMOUS or something like that.
All right, Curtis. I'll see you later.
Thank you. You know, and it was an IRS agent who took out Al Capone. Wasn't a member of the FBI. A lot of people think, oh, FBI forever busting Italians. No, it wasn't the FBI. It was the Treasury Department, because it was Greasy Thumbs Gusick who was keeping all the books, two sets of books, one for Capone, one for the government in Cicero, right next to the south side of Chicago. And when eventually the IRS came in, although they were called the Treasury Department then, they got him with sharpened number two pencils. Yeah, that's the reason Capone went away. That's why so many people had the fear of the IRS in that generation, because they said, look, Capone killed, right? He invented drive-by shootings. He stole. He extorted. He had illegal booze during Prohibition. He did everything you could put. Prostitution, you named it. By the way, I think that's how he got the STDs. You know, not the racist edge of Andy Granatelli. Oh, that's STP. I'm sorry. The STDs, the sexually transmitted disease, syphilis, remember? And then years later when he was in the joint, that was a nasty death. They didn't get him on any of that, but on not paying his taxes. And so for my father's generation, my mother's generation, my father Chester, my mother Francesca, they grew up fearing the IRS because they said, look, this guy murdered it. He killed. He was the head of organized crime. He was little Scarface, right? Scarface. Al Capone from Taffy Place in Brooklyn couldn't make it there, so he went to Chicago. And all of a sudden, he was number one, second, and none. Who took him down? The Treasury Department. Guys with sharpened number two pencils who looked at the books of Greasy Thumb Gusick. And you know why they called him Greasy Thumb Gusick? Because he'd be having those big boys, Polish sausages, and he'd be all grease on his hands. So whenever he'd do an entry, it would always be grease on it. And that's how they knew it was Greasy Thumb Gusick. You learn a lot here when Curtis Lee was substituting. And a lot of people would say, really? Oh, wow. I have, you know, Frank Morano's listeners. Wow, gee, Glory, Haliaski, hallelujah. Wow, I never knew that. See? Just shorten Morano to moron. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. When we come back, I got to tell you the new way they're coming for you. Not just the IRS, but bill collectors. I'll get you, my little pretty. All right. You're not going to be letting me make these calls, right? Call. I can't call you anymore. I'll get you in a different way, my little pretty. But we're going to get our money one way or the other.
WABC.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano. 77 WABC.
I came to dance, 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 dance. I hit the floor cause that's my plans, 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 plans. I'm wearing all my favorite brands, 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 brands. Give me space for both my hands, 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 hands. You, you, cause it goes on and on and on. And it goes on and on and on.
Nah, you had me, but you lost me here. Yeah, what is this, Jersey Shore crap? Of course it is. Oh, Jersey Shore. Ooh, go ahead, raise the music up there. This is what you would get from those geriatric, espresso-sipping degenerates from the Jersey Shore. Remember? This kind of music. Ooh, ooh. Let's go out there and put our VO5 hairspray on mole hair so when we throw glasses at one another, it sticks to the hair. The honeycomb. I knew it was going to disappoint me. You know, this format is starting to sound like Dick Morris, you know, Sundays from 12 to 1. I listened to Dick Morris today. It's like every 5 seconds, the guy thinks he's a DJ. He's spinning wax. He plays like 4 songs a segment. I'm saying, is this talk radio or everyone trying to be Cousin Boofsy or Tony Orlando? And by the way, whatever happened to Dawn? Nobody will answer that. Whatever happened to Dawn? I asked Tony Orlando, right? Greek, Puerto Ricano. He was on the rooftops of Hell's Kitchen. He saw the lights of Broadway. He tells me his whole story. He went swimming in the west side there, the Hudson River, when all of a sudden flotsam and jetsam would be floating in the Hudson. You know what that was, huh? That was untreated water. Need I describe it any further? He tell me all that. Oh, I didn't get polio from that. And all I said, I just asked you one freaking question, Tony, Orlando. Whatever happened to Dawn? Take the coat of Omerta. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. And then Joe Piscopo. That's like a love affair. I love you, Joe. No, no, no. I love you. I love you. No, you love me. I love you. You love me. It's like Barney. I wanted to shoot him when I was watching him with my kids. That purple monster. I really, you know, I never carried a gun. When I got shot 5 times on the orders of John Gotti Sr., the John Gotti Jr., the Gambino crime family, the NYPD said, you know, you're entitled to a carry permit. There's only one reason I carry, and that's if I had to watch Barney again with either Anthony Carter or Hunter, I would shoot Barney right through that TV screen. God, I hated that. But now, more in double trouble. You think it's bad enough that the IRS is on your jockstrap, even though, who is that guy from the Granite State, New Hampshire, you know, live free or die, an apologist for the IRS, although he gave us a lot of good pertinent information. And especially advice to Frank Morano, who's going to try to write off all of his gambling losses. You thought you could escape the bill collectors, right? You thought that now they're cracking down on robocalls and they're limiting the time that bill collectors can call you, you know, between 9 and 5, not at night, not after dinner, not before breakfast. You thought you might have escaped the noose and the long arm of the bill collectors who get their VIG. Once the original loan is now transferred to an agency, and all they do as they become like hemorrhoids to you. You can't find enough Preparation H in the world to smear on those hemorrhoids to have them dry up and blow away. They're on you morning, noon, and night, the bill collectors. But they've been restricted. No more. The barrage of robocalls is about to get worse with a new frontier of attack, social media accounts. As if the social media didn't have enough problems, a new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau rule has gone into effect that allows debt collectors to reach out to people on Twitter, Instagram, or wherever else they have online social accounts as long as the direct messages are private. So now they can get into your social media. They can actually send you messages. You twits on Twitter, Instagram, or whatever. The new rules prohibit these companies from posting publicly on timelines. And they also have to identify themselves as debt collectors and provide an opt-out option. Unlike the Bananos, Colombos, Lucchese's, Genovese, and Gambino debt collectors, who will definitely bend your leg and stuff it in your pocket for the VIG. They want the points. They claim they're developing a debt collection system that works for consumers and industry in the modern world. It doesn't work for the consumers, I can assure you that. Now that they're going to be putting the arm on you in your direct messaging. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Gary in Inwood. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Gary. And where'd Gary go? You see, he's talking to somebody in the background. Hey, Gary, why'd you put the bag on? He's half in the bag. You see this? He's at the local gin mill in Inwood. I think I know exactly where it is, near 236 Perry Avenue. I used to be the manager of the Mickey D's there. It's right near the precinct and right near where the roller rink used to be. So the guy is on the phone there, and he's having another conversation, maybe with a phantom person, I don't know, Gary and Inwood. He's like an iconic institution here at WABC. He's always a caller.
He's watching Barney.
Yeah, either that, Barney, or he's watching the Curtis Leeward documentary, right? That the other guy was giving us a blow-by-blow description of. Anger management issues. This is adult cruelty. You know, you're with your kids or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, and they got Barney on, the monster. And he's singing this stupid song. You know, I'm not a gun-toter. No. It's not my... But I got to tell you, this would be probably the only time in my life I'd carry a 9. And I'd unload a clip into Barney. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. You know who's going to be sitting in front of the boob tube soon. With his now 16-pound bouncing baby, Young Carmine. Only 10 days out of the oven, right? He's 16 pounds. And Frank Morano has him listening to talk radio, which I think should qualify him for someone from... Child Services in New York or DIFAS in New Jersey to come and maybe snatch him away or take Carmine or whatever. You shouldn't be allowing a kid to be listening to talk radio. But you'll get yours, Frank. You're going to have to be sitting there one day and watching Barney over and over and over. Because Carmine is going to want to watch Barney, that little purple monster. And you're going to start tearing your hair out by the roots, the little hair that you have left. And it's going to drive you crazy. You're going to hate Barney the way I hate Barney. Oh, your day is coming. Every parent, your day is coming when your kids discover Barney. I love you. You love me. No, I don't. I don't love you. And you don't love me. Just straighten the kid out. Don't feed him those perpetual lies. Then all of a sudden they're going to join a cult. I guarantee you, perpetual watching of Barney, the cartoons, will lead to a cult-like manifestation in your head in which you will end up joining some kind of cult all over the world. Oh, yeah, it's bound to happen. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to David in probably the largest landmass city in the world, Jacksonville, Florida. Your turn to be heard, Dave.
Curtis, man, I can't believe I'm talking to you. I loved you for all these years. I'm 74, and I grew up with you, so you're the greatest. Okay, Jackie Gleason, did you ever see him in The Hustler?
Yes.
Legitimate acting. He could have been a great legitimate actor if he didn't want to do comedy. I mean, Paul Newman. Okay, Smokey and the Bandit. Did you see that?
Oh, yes.
Okay, now, ethnic little joke. Jokey's with his son, and the roof is torn off the car, and a cop stops. And Jackie's explaining he's running after the bandit. Okay, so after you get through, the cop says to him, well, that's not germane to why I stopped you. And Jackie says, well, the goddamn Germans have nothing to do with this. Okay, one more thing.
Oh, God, this better be good. Go ahead, David.
Sir? Oh, his dumb son's sitting next to him. And he says, just the thought of you came from my loins disturbs me. You remember that?
Oh, David. This is so synonymous with Frank Morano listeners. I don't know if any of you have ever been in Jacksonville. You could drive all day in Jacksonville, Florida, and AM becomes PM, and you're still in Jacksonville. It's like the largest mass city of width and length that I've ever been in. And yeah, Houston was like that. Los Angeles was like that. But nothing was comparable to Jacksonville, Florida. And these are the callers that I have to deal with. A guy who is quoting me. Dom DeLuise, right? Burt Reynolds, right? Smokey and the Bandit with Jackie Gleason. With all the great movies Jackie Gleason did, with all the great television, they have to pull up the one with Dom DeLuise, Burt Reynolds, and Jackie Gleason, Smokey and the Bandit. That's why I say Frank Morano's listeners are hillbillies. The hillbillies would go for that, not the hustler. You know, with Jackie Gleason and the pool cue against Paul Newman, the Cincinnati Kid. You remember, right? Proves hillbillies love Frank Morano more than they love me.
I love you. You love me.
Yes! Right between the eyes! I can't tell you how many times I'd be sitting there. Anthony would say, oh, play it one more time. Play it one more time. Put the video in, Daddy, one more time. Yeah, sure, kid. Take that TV, throw it right out the window. And then it was Connor and Hunter, right? Daddy. We want to see the purple little monster there, Barney. You really do, huh, kids? You want to watch Superman? No, Barney. Want to watch Batman and Robin? No, Barney. Well, what about Spider-Man? No, Barney. Oh, the agitation. The complete decomboberation of my mindset. And to be forced, I would rather be in Gitmo. Forced to listen to Yoko Ono screaming over and over and over as part of Dick Cheney's torture. You know, he waterboard you. And then he would play for Khalid the Schmuck Muhammad. He'd play Barney. And right away, they'd give up the next jihad attack. That's all you had to do. Either play Yoko Ono on the anniversary of the execution of John Lennon. And yes, we will be doing a special on that, something that Frank Morano promised his listeners, and he sold them wolf tickets. Now, we're going to do it on the 8th. And then, of course, if you really wanted the jihadists to give up information about Osama bin Laden, after Dick Cheney waterboarded them in Gitmo, oh, just keep playing Barney over and over and over. And all of a sudden, they'll give you up all information that you need. Well, up next, we got to help our president, Joe Biden. He's got a tough week coming up. This may be his toughest week yet. since he became president of the United States, and it starts with Vladimir Putin in Russia.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
This would have been a theme song for candidate Trump, right, Donald Trump? Probably one of the few groups who wouldn't minded that he used this to fire up the crowd, right? I mean, this would have been the perfect Trump song. Whereas the other opening, could I hear the other Frank opening where he tries to be hip happening, you know, where he rips off Wagner and Rivera? You know, the theme song's coming out of the bullpen like, yeah, Frank Morano would ever come out of the bullpen. Please. Please. Don't insult us.
Yeah, this. I will admit, while Enter Sandman is a great song, this song literally does scream, and now, here come your Chicago Bulls.
Exactly. It's a ripoff. He's like the Red Chinese. You know, he doesn't observe copyrights, trademarks. He just rips the song off. Now, we can't associate an American band with anyone else. Now, let's see if you two Weisenheimers, you hipsters and millennials, know the name of that great all-American band. Do you know what the name of that band is?
The one who just sung We're an American Band? Grand Funk Railroad.
Yes! Yes! I would suggest, let me throw this out for consumption.
Yeah.
Because Frank Morano eventually will be back once he has completely milked the paternity leave train. And I mean really milked it. Like Buttigieg. Would you prefer Frank to have, as his theme song coming back, The Sandman, which like everybody has played. Everybody. I mean, there's no originality there whatsoever. I mean, you think Mariano Rivera is coming. You think that Wagner is coming from the Phillies built bullpen out of the Met bullpen. And then, as you said, you think it's the introduction of the Chicago Bulls without Michael Jordan, right? Right? You think that's it because it's low budget. Or do you think that the new theme, let me cue up the new theme again, American Band, just a classic. See? Got that beat.
More upbeat.
Yep. Plus, it's patriotic. It's an American band. It's what Trumpers would like, right? Let's face it. They'd be going crazy before Donald Trump came out on the stage with Bill O'Reilly. You know, their talks coming up. Imagine if they play this song. People were like, yeah, America, America, USA. USA! USA!
People would be going nuts.
They'd love it.
This would be so much better. No, Frank Morano, he's like Ucalabres. He's hard-headed. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, which song should be the opening salvo of Frank Morano's assault on your radio listening, or at least your music appreciation? The Sandman? 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Or an American band. That's right. Oh, great. That's classic. That, you see, I'm hooking Frank up, right? The Trumpers love that song. I wouldn't doubt that Trump and Bill O'Reilly are going to rip me off on that one, and that's going to be their intro on all the places that they're going to have that sit-down, you know, that discussion.
Curtis, did you have a campaign theme song when you were running for mayor?
Hell, I couldn't even afford to have a campaign office, and you wanted me to have a campaign theme song. You know, you got to pay residuals, royalties.
That's right. Yes.
I didn't want those groups. I didn't want those groups doing what they did to Trump. You know, you play this song, and then all of a sudden, oh, you can't play my song. I'm going to sue you. In fact, what was the only group? See, this is a good bit of Curtis Lee with trivia. Don't ask, don't tell, because I throw nickels around like manhole covers. What was the one group that did not at all object to then-candidate Donald Trump playing their music as theme music for his many rallies? In fact, they welcomed it. Let me give you a hint. They were from Long Island, a.k.a. Strong Lion Island. Ooh, that's a real brain buster. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC.
Let's say if you did have a campaign theme song, which one would you have chose?
Ah, that's interesting. Very interesting. Let me mull on that. You know, with my thinking capacity being so limited, having to perform as the Mameluke Frank Morano and dealing with his special ed listeners, it's been a bit of a drain brain for me. So let me mull on that if you don't mind.
Roger that.
1-800-848-9222. Oh, the news of the day, we've been told that President Joe Biden has determined that we are going to launch a diplomatic boycott against the Red Chinese in advance of the beginning of the Winter Olympic Games in Red China, which starts in February. Ooh, I'm sure that's really going to hurt President Hu. What's on second? I don't know who's on third. Who belly slid into home? That makes no sense at all. And if you notice, the Red Chinese have been sending their bombers into Taiwanese airspace and daring the remnants of Chiang Kai-shek, the nationalist army that fled from the mainland to Taiwan so many years ago, a.k.a. known as Formosa back then, and were repelled by the locals who didn't want Chiang Kai-shek there. They said, hey, you're mainland Chinese. We don't want you here. Oh, that was quite a battle. But the nationalist forces of Chiang Kai-shek won out and embedded themselves on Formosa, now a.k.a. Taiwan. By the way, some of you who are boomers probably remember getting your first pancake mitts, your baseball gloves. They were not anything to brag about. You know, it's not like Spalding or Rawlings, not a Mickey Mantle autograph glove. You had a pancake mitt that came from Formosa. It said, the little tag said Formosa. And you said, what the hell is Formosa? A.k.a. known as Taiwan. It had a little picture of Chiang Kai-shek in there. You know, yeah, oh, I remember. I had a lot of pancake mitts. Couldn't afford a Rawlings or a Spalding. Mickey Mantle autographed. Hell no. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. So now what the hell do we do if all of a sudden the Red Chinese and President Hu, what's on second, I don't know who's on third, decides to invade Taiwan, right? Because we have a fact that we have made a treaty with the Taiwanese to say if you're attacked by Red China or anybody, we're going to be at your beck and call. We're going to defend you. What do we do? Do we go to war against the Red Chinese? 1-800-848-9222. Like they went to war against us in North Korea? Oh, yeah. Coming, swarming in. 1-800-848-WABC. What do we do, huh? And then meantime, on Tuesday, President Joe Biden is sitting down with Vladimir Putin, of whom he's taller. See, that's a rarity. Most times, President Joe Biden is shorter than some of the world leaders. But he gets to look down on Vladimir Putin, who is a real shorty short. And you know what the discussion is going to be. It's about Mr. Quid Pro Quo, you know, the king of all comedy there in Ukraine, that young Huckleberry who still uses Clearasil to deal with his pimples problem. That's how young the king of all comedy is. The new president of the crooked Ukraine is, what is his name, Zelensky? You remember the quid pro quo guy? I mean, whatever. He's claiming there's a coup d'etat underway. There's 175,000 Soviet forces with T-2 tanks ready to invade. Look, he took the Crimea back. He took other parts of the Ukraine back. Basically, Vladimir Putin is flexing now and wants to go all the way to Kiev. What the hell do we do? Biden does. And members of NATO, if in fact the Ukraine is attacked. Obama did nothing. He just let him take the Crimea and other parts of the Ukraine. Do we go to war over the Ukraine? Really? Over the Ukraine? 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. By the way, what was that energy company that Hunter Biden was involved with? And only Burisma. Remember Burisma? And then what was it? President Joe Biden said, hey, I ain't giving you none of our money unless you get rid of that prosecutor who's investigating Burisma. And then all of a sudden, boom, within 24 hours, the investigation was off. At least that's how Mike Mbatichich Rudy Giuliani tells it. You may want to give us a different slant. Let's go to the phones. It's Casey calling from Elmsford, New York. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Case.
So what in the world was all of that? Okay, the group, I don't know if it's Wu-Tang Clan that you were looking for from Strong Island, and I wouldn't pick any of those guys, Sandman or whatever. I would pick Chicago 25 to 64 or America's You're the Biggest Part of Me. That's my all-time classic rock.
All right, okay, see, when you mentioned Wu-Tang Clan, they're from Staten Island, they're from Stapleton, Park Hill, North Shore. Also,
I don't care about the answer to that question. What was the answer?
You couldn't be more hopelessly wrong about the only group that actually felt that it was okay. They high-fived the then-candidate Donald Trump, then-president Donald Trump, when he culturally appropriated their music to be played to warm up the many crowds, the Trumper crowds. And they're a Long Island band. Casey, you have no idea?
I have absolutely no clue.
Well, it ain't Billy Joel, Bug Eyes Billy Joel, that's for sure.
Okay.
You wouldn't go to a Billy Joel concert, would you, Casey?
I absolutely would go to a Billy Joel concert,
now,
sir.
Now, tell me, every month, right, he has like a concert. He does the same freaking concert in Madison Square Garden for his buddy, the crook, Jimmy Dolan, who owns the place, right? Every freaking month. You know what that's similar to?
I don't know.
Did you ever go to a movie on Saturday nights called Rocky Horror? Saturday, these freaks would go to Rocky Horror, and they would lip-sync the words and dress up like the characters, and it was the same movie every Saturday night.
Hey, buddy, I'm still a virgin.
You are?
Anybody who hasn't seen Rocky Horror was called a virgin.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Oh, now I'm schooling you.
Hell yeah. So you mean if you've never seen Rocky Horror, you're considered
ask
a virgin?
Google it. Google it.
This is amazing.
That's a cultural term right there for Rocky Horror.
I'm learning something all the time. Casey schooled me there, you see. I didn't know that you were called a virgin if you hadn't seen the Rocky Horror Mountain Show. I'll call it the Rocky Horror Mountain Show. That's another great... Oh, we got another theme song for Frank. You got to come back with Mississippi. Oh, two of the greatest, Felix Papillardi and Leslie West. Felix Papillardi and Leslie West. Mississippi, that's MISSISSISSISSISSISSIPPI. See, that's what we would say when we were playing touch football in the street. You'd have to count to 10 Mississippi before you could charge the quarterback. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three. Right, right. You got that, Mississippi?
I'm going to look for it. I presently found Mississippi Queen by Mountain. But
yes!
I'm going
to play it!
I'm going to play it?
This is good. This could be Frank Morano's
here we go.
Theme song. Yeah. Play it, Leslie. saw them at the old Palladium. Oh, they rocked it. Give me some more volume. Yeah. Now, look, if Cousin Brucey gets to spin Stacks of Wax and then Tony Orlando, by the way, whatever happened to Dawn? And then Joe Piscopo, 2 hours of Sinatra, you know, Ramsey, Subaru, Sinatra, they just played earlier today, 6 to 8. If they get to spin Stacks of Wax, why don't I get to spin Stacks of Wax? Especially since Frank Morano tries to act hip, happening, acts like he does fly stuff, plays heavy metal. That he's ripped off of Wagner. Yeah, Wagner, the anti-Semite. No, everyone's getting crazy here out there. We're not talking about the flight of the Valkyries here. We're talking about Billy Wagner coming out of the bullpen for the Mets. Mariano Rivera and the introduction of the Chicago Bulls without Michael Jordan. That's right. Let's go if we can. Apparently, Pete in Queens has a new theme song for Frank Morano. While we're at it, what's your choice, Pete?
Good morning, Curtis. How are you?
Oh, hold on a second. Hold on. We got to school. Pete, 1,000 times I've said there's certain rules and regulations when you deal with me on the Curtis Sliwa show, and that is you never ask, how you doing? Because you know what I'm going to say, Pete? I've had better days.
All right, I'm just going to say good morning. My suggestion is for his new theme song. The name of the song is Other Side of Midnight. And it's by a guy named Levi Dexter and the Ripcords. It's sort of a neo-rockabilly song. It's very popular in the UK. And it's a pretty good jump number. It's pretty catchy. You might want to have your call screener check it out. It's on YouTube. You know, if Frank approves of it, great. If not, then oh well.
Well, you know he's not going to. Wait a second. You know he's not going to approve of it. He's a fuddy-dud.
Well, I like a lot of old things myself. So I'm big into the retro scene. I like old music. You know.
Yeah, I know, but you're not obsessed with it, right? You know, I mean, you're eclectic. You have eclectic tastes, right, Pete?
I do have eclectic taste. Okay. Yes.
That's normal.
I've had a vintage car in my life, but, you know.
Right. That's normal. Know. But a guy like Frank Morano, who's now, we've proven this week, he's 35, acts like he's 105.
Well, I'm going to be 55 this month, and I can be accused of being 155 because I like a lot of old-fashioned things.
When Frank was at home, before he decided to no longer be a Mama Luke and married Rachel, do you know what pinups he had in his room? You know what pinups?
No, I don't know.
Only one woman.
Betty Grable.
No.
Betty Grable.
No. Only one woman was good enough for Frank Morano.
Yeah, $1 million legs.
No, I'll give you a hint. She's still alive. She's still kicking. And she's originally from the Mistake by the Lake, Cleveland, Ohio. Boy. I'm giving the store away here.
Oh, boy.
Mm. Yeah, see, you don't know. My God! When you find out who this woman is, and Frank had 4 posters in his room, so that if he turned his head left, he turned it straight up, he turned it to the right, or he had his head face down. That was a bit psychosexual. That woman was always staring at him.
I don't know who that might be. I mean, I'm a big fan of the pinup art. I like Alberto Vargas. I like a lot of classic, not dirty stuff. I'm talking about maybe a little scantily clad.
No, it's more on the artistic side, right?
Right, exactly.
Airbrushed. You don't want to see all the cellulite and stuff. I get it.
When was the last time you saw a pinup of a woman wearing her pajamas out in public? I mean, give me a break.
That's true. You are old school, but I'm sorry to say, Pete, you couldn't have been more hopelessly wrong, Betty Grable. What Betty Grable? How could you not know who Frank Morano's sweetheart was, and who maybe he's got a little feeling for her still. He's not a cheater. No, Frank, guarantee you, he's not cheating on Rachel. No way. But he had four pinups in his room. He turned his head to the left, turned to the right. He would see this actress straight forward, and then with his head down. Now, that was the one. Oh, my God. 1-800-848-WABC.
WABC.
This is Foghat, Slow Ride.
Foghat, get out of here. Toss it out here, man. Why don't you just play glam rock instead? God, that's so beneath this show. Come on. We were on a good one. Mountain, Mississippi Queen. Before
we're an American band. American,
and then you just ruined it here. Next stop, it'll be glam rock. Probably be, let me see what you would probably choose. Oh, Boston, right? Oh, Boston. Yeah, Boston. Knock it off, guys. Please don't try to compete with the master blaster here, Curtis Sliwa. Anyway, let's go to Pete in Staten Island. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Pete.
I think the song for Frank should be, Mississippi Queen, you know what I mean. And for you, I think the song should be, I'm back in the U.S. groove.
Hmm. What is that, Gary Glitter?
No, that's Ace Frehley.
Because I don't wear
back
no,
in the New York groove.
I don't wear no glitter. Let me tell you right up.
Curtis, we got to be original. For Curtis, it's back in the U.S. groove because Curtis rocks.
Wait a second. Isn't that back in the USSR by the group that I hate, loathe, despise, the Beatles?
No, that's by Ace Frehley from Kiss.
You're thinking of back in the New York groove.
No.
Right, but I changed it for the U.S., which Curtis is known nationwide.
I wasn't part of the Kiss Army. I hated Kiss. Their tongues would hang down to their ankles. Oh, who was their main guy? Gene Simmons?
Gene Simmons, yeah.
Right, he thought he was like Will Chamberlain, having sex with like 10,000 women. Yo, why don't you do an STD check on that guy? God. What did he do? Put the condom on his tongue? I mean, come on, let's be real here. Yeah. Oh.
Hey, thanks for the great things you're doing for the cast.
Oh,
you and your
thank
wife.
Thank you. I mean, who the hell would want to be part of the Kiss Army, right? Well, they all have COVID-19 lately. Well, I'm sure they have other things if they do a little deep testing, the Department of Health. So I ask, what is the one group that did not mind that Citizen Trump, then President Trump, they didn't mind that he culturally appropriated their music and used it at his Trump rallies? You haven't even gotten close yet. Let's go to Steve calling from the Irish Riviera along the Hudson River in Rockland County. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Steve.
Curtis, the answer is the Stones, Curtis. I mean, I don't know. The Stones were the ones who didn't, not at first. Now they don't want it done, you know, after. But during the campaign, it was the Stones. And you can check, you can quadruple check me on that, okay? Because they were queried, and Mick Jagger was very clear. If Donald wants to use it, for now he can use it.
You couldn't be more hopelessly wrong. This is such an easy one. This is like a layup. But this is the Frank Morano audience here. First off, we're talking Long Island. Okay. Think. There haven't been that many bands out of Long Island. A lot of garage bands. I'll give you a solid, a lot of really good garage bands in Nassau and Suffolk, but some that never really just made the American bandstand, you know, Picket or Panit or Soul. trade with Don Cornelius. Weren't good enough to make it quite there. And the Frank Morano audience is vapid, dense. All they do is have muscles between both ears. And you would think there are a lot of Trumpers listening right now, right? They probably were all, like, so excited to hear that there was one group out there that didn't mind that Donald Trump and his staff had culturally appropriated their songs to use to pump up the crowd. And remember, they were huge, massive crowds. I'm going to give them one more chance. One more chance. Okay? 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Ralph in New Jersey. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Ralph.
You know, it's the same thing between Putin and Biden. I would not like to believe that anything good would come out of it, because if you remember in Switzerland, Geneva, it was, okay, Putin immediately after the meeting did a full Monty with the media. Meanwhile, Biden was nowhere to be seen. He scampered away to wherever he went. Okay?
What the hell is he talking about? This guy's like Mumbles, right? What, is everybody calling up the Frank Morano show Mumble? I realize it's in the wee hours of the morning. Maybe they're gargling, they're brushing their teeth for the first time in a week. But my God, we need a translator for some of these people. We still can't isolate this one group that was more than happy to have their songs played by First Citizen Trump and then President Trump on the campaign trail. Let's go to Ken in Bay Ridge, see if you have the knowledge.
Curtis, it's Blue Oyster Cult.
Blue Oyster Cult, my God. This is a tip-in, not even a layup. Blue Oyster Cult, what are you talking about?
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, might as well. You already wasted my time.
All right. When is Frank gonna have the baby, the showing of the baby? When is he going up to the up to the top of Todd Hill with, and you know, like
you,
in
you,
the
you,
Lion?
Yeah, you
like
mean?
No, like in the Lion King, when the old lion shows the baby lion to the whole jungle. When is he going up to the Toad Hill and going to raise the baby up? And
God, the Lion King. Ken, what does that have to do with a little baby? My God. Why not the christening? You know, he's going to do it in Mount Laredo. Remember the scene in The Godfather was filmed in the church in Mount Laredo when Michael Corleone was at the baptism and he said to everybody, we're going to settle all scores. What is the Lion King? These are Frank Morano listeners. Blue Oyster Cult. This is not a brain buster. Let's see if Paulie in Staten Island seems to know which group was more than happy that Donald Trump, citizen then president, culturally appropriated their songs.
Hi, Curtis. It was Twisted Sister, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes.
There you go. Because I remember when they were waiting for him to come in to Mar-a-Lago, they had We're Not Gonna Take It playing.
That's right. Dee Schneider.
Yeah, Twisted Sister.
Hot for teacher. Remember, hot for teacher. Remember Dee Schneider?
Yes.
And in fact, the Trumpers were immediately thinking that, like almost all other groups, that they were going to go to court. They were going to file an injunction to prevent Team Trump from playing their songs. And yet, Dee Schneider of Twisted Sister said, I got no problem with that. Remember that?
That's right. Dee Schneider's awesome, man. He's a patriot. He's a patriot.
How many callers did it take us to get a simple answer like that? Hot for teacher. How many?
Enough to get us to the 3:30 hour.
I mean, think of it. How many guys there, right? Their fantasy come true. Hot for teacher, right? And they couldn't remember Dee Schneider. How many times was he on with Howard Stern, right? Like infinitum. I mean, who is on more? Topo Gigio with Ed Sullivan or Dee Schneider with Howard Stern? And then some other Weisenheimer calls up and says, oh, that hillbilly group was on Ed Sullivan even more than the little Italian mice, Topo Gigio. I don't understand this. Well, I'm trying. I'm really trying. And I'm trying to lift up, you know, raise the curve for the audience here, the Frank Morano Show. And I said, what were the pinups in Frank Morano's room when he was the Mama Luke living in Mom's house? Because Mom, nobody could do it better than Mom. Mom would actually iron his BVDs, his Fruit in the Loom. She made sure that he had a nice bowl of pasta vazul when he would get up like 12:30 in the afternoon. You know, he was the prince. He could do no wrong. You know what an Italian-American household is. You can't figure out which picture was up on his wall, which pinup picture. Let me see if I can give more clues here. Boy, this audience is hurting. This woman was in a very famous television show. It featured four women up there in age. They were living in Florida, okay? Can I give any more? I mean, if I give any more, it's like I might as well tell you who it is. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. As we talk about, oh, yeah, the other big Joe Biden news is, you know, they got two caravans coming to the border there. Almost no Central Americans, no Mexicans in these caravans. It seems like everyone from North Africa, Central Africa, Haiti, the Dominican Republic, you name it, if it's a country outside of Mexico and Central America, they seem to be part of these two caravans. They're hell-bent on hitting the border. And finally, Joe Biden, our president today, is saying, hey, the Trump standards apply. You got to wait in Mexico for your asylum effort. We'll call you. You don't call us. But will he force them to get vaccinated? With one shot? Two shots? Maybe he'll give them the booster, too. You know, it's like only 60% of Americans, I believe, at this point have had one shot. He still wants them to get a second shot and a booster. But, you know, if you're down at the border now, they're going to give you one shot, two shots, and the booster, and say, screw you if you're an American citizen, too. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. And then there's the move in the City Council of New York. They're going to vote on the 9th to let 800,000. Not illegal aliens. I keep hearing it. Judge Jeanine Pirro, I wanted to just touch. They're not illegal. They're green card holders. They're work visa holders. I mean, everyone immediately, oh, illegals. They're not giving illegals the right to vote. They're green card holders who have all the rights of American citizens other than the privilege to vote. They get all the same benefits. Pretty much the same thing with those with work visas. And the argument is, well, they pay taxes, don't they? They should have the right to vote. Taxation without representation. You know, the Tea Party in Boston, the Sons of Liberty, John Adams. Did I run that all by? I don't believe any of that, but they do. Our numbers. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Keet in Manhattan. Who was the poster girl in the Mama Luke's bedroom when he lived with Mommy Frank Morano?
Well, Curtis, it's good to talk to you again. I'm the spay-neuter trapper in Harlem, and I don't know why anybody doesn't know the answer to this question. Of course, it's Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, you couldn't be more hopelessly Farrah Fawcett. Come on. This is not tough. Farrah Fawcett was not in a TV program with four women that were sharing lodging down in Florida. I mean, could it get any more simple than that? In fact, one of them claimed to have lineage. Wow, this should give it all away. To Sicily. She was a Cheech. She was a Zip. She was about as tall as Frank Morano is. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Bill in Harrison, New Jersey. Your turn to be heard here on WABC.
Hey, how you? All right, listen. You got a major mistake there, Curtis. You're talking about Twisted Sister Dee Snider. You're correct with that. But when you say Hot for Teacher, he had nothing to do with that song. That's Van Halen. And if you ever told David Lee Roth that he looks like Twisted Sister Dee Snider, he'd go for a major facelift, and he'd come over there and, like, really be very, very upset with you. That's all I want to let you know, you know?
Hold on.
That's Van Halen, Hot for Teacher.
Hold on a second. Van Halen, right?
Van Halen,
who took over for Howard Stern on the radio and maybe was the most boring talk radio show host in the history of the medium, right? That's who you mean,
there
Bill?
You go. Hey, there you go again. Curtis, I'm a big, big fan, but Van Halen, you're saying it's not Van Halen. It was David Lee Roth that took over for Howard Stern. I used to listen to it religiously. I'm a big, huge fan. A lot of Harrisonites are, a lot of Jerseyites, New Yorkers. They're one of the hottest, biggest rock and roll bands ever. You can't take nothing away from them. They were good with Sammy Hagar, but David Lee Roth, you're getting David Lee Roth mixed up with Van Halen, and you're getting him mixed up with Dee Snider. He looks nothing like David Lee Roth. He was, Jesus Christ, he'd be highly insulted if you ever told him that.
Well, how about we do this? How about we play Find? We have three little walnuts, and we put the names under each walnut. Okay? We have David Lee Roth, we have Van Halen, and we have Dee Snider, and I go round and round and round, and then you pick the right one. God. The hell. Now they're giving me constructive criticism, right? Can you believe this? Now they're giving me constructive. We can't even figure out which femme fatale was the full page foldout showing her gams. That excited Frank Morano. That's when he recognized he was heterosexual. He was no longer struggling with his sexuality. It's a simple answer. Why do you make it so complicated? See, this should be Frank Morano's theme music. We've given him a panoply of choices so he can get hip happening and show he's got some glide in his stride instead of that funky played-out Sandman, which I think, oh, it's Wagner in from the bullpen for the Mets and Phillies. Oh, it's Mariano Rivera. Oh, no, it's the Chicago Bulls without MJ. I'm trying to help. And then I asked, what was the poster girl in his room when he wouldn't leave Mama? He was tied to her apron strings, a real Mama Luke. And forget the layup. This is a tip-in. Let's go to Jill in Bloomfield. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Jill.
Hello, sir. We cannot be talking about B. Arthur, can we?
B. Arthur?
Or Betty White.
B. Arthur. Oh, my God. Can you imagine Frank with B. Arthur? First of all, wasn't she like the librarian type? You know, she was like the brainiac. You know, she is like the girl who would have made it to Stuyvesant, would have made it to Bronx High School of Science, would have made it to Brooklyn Tech, Staten Island Tech, or Townsend on the campus of Queens College. It's like, I don't get this. It's like a tip-in. It's a tip-in. Mike in Manhattan. Mike, you too thought it was B. Arthur, Mike?
Well, how about Betty White?
Okay, you finally got it. After, like, torture, pulling teeth, Betty White.
You mentioned that Frank Morano's 135 years of age, so I figured that he wants somebody his age, so I think Betty White is 99 now. So
yeah.
You know,
and she's still kicking. She's still kicking, Mike.
Yeah, that's commendable.
But no, if you ask Frank, if ever he gets back from paternity leave, which he's milking for every nickel dime he can get, Buttigieg, just like his protege, Buttigieg, the Secretary of Transportation, who has failed miserably at his job. Look at this, Carol. Carol in New Jersey. Carol.
Hi there, Curtis. I thought that he would have had a poster of Valerie Bertinelli hanging up in his room. Betty White. Are you kidding?
So, Valerie Bertinelli, who was married to who?
Eddie Van Halen.
Right. Who was a methead, who had no teeth at the end, right? But he was God with the guitars, right? He played that air guitar, playing hacky sack. Everybody wanted to be Eddie. I'm God. I want to be Eddie, man. Every white boy's dream, right, Carol?
You know, I thought that Sammy Hagar had a better voice than David Lee Roth. That's my opinion.
Yeah, but they went downhill. I Can't Drive 55. That was it for Sammy Hagar. I Can't Drive 55 was over after that, Carol.
No, he was there with them for a while. He was there for a bit.
I know, but you loved the way Eddie Van Halen played the guitar, didn't you, Carol?
Oh, of course he did. He was one of the best.
Wait. According to some, forget Jeff Beck. Forget Eric Clapton. Forget Ernie Isley. It was Eddie Van Halen.
It's a shame what happened to him, really.
By the way, do you know where Eddie Van Halen was born?
He was from the Netherlands. Right?
Very good. Wow, you are a groupie. You are a groupie.
Well,
come on, Carol.
I know my music.
No, I know. You're a bit of a groupie, right? Come on, Sammy Hagar, Eddie Van Halen.
No, Curtis, I'm not. I was never a groupie. I used to just go to the concerts and things.
Look,
you know?
What would rock and roll have been without groupies? Come on, Carol.
Yeah, you're right about that in a way.
Right? You were frisky back then. You were footloose and fancy free.
Your estrogen was flying
in all directions.
I'm a good Catholic girl. I was never like that.
It's okay, Carol. It's okay. You know, talking to you, Carol, it has taken all the sewers out of me, all the anger of having to constantly wrestle with the Frank Morano listeners and callers who could barely string three words together. Couldn't chew gum and think at the same time.
Yeah, but Frank knows that I'm related to Joe Jackson, so.
Yeah.
He's my cousin, Joe Jackson, the British musician.
Yeah.
So that's why I know a little bit about music.
Yeah, well, why don't you go have some shepherd's pie, Carol, huh?
I don't like shepherd's pie.
Oh, you don't? Well, why don't you have some lager, you know, just down a few?
Oh, yeah. When I was over, I spent a lot of time over in England on and off. I actually lived there for a while. I used to go to the pubs.
I want to ask you this question, Carol. How come you go to Cardiff in Wales, or Glasgow in Scotland, or Northern Ireland, or England? They have such rotten teeth. What is wrong with those people? Don't they brush their teeth?
No, not the people I know. The people I know have rotten teeth.
Oh, excuse me. The people that Carol knows. Excuse me. You know, royalty there. Earl's Court in London. Oh, yes. Who was that perv? We're hearing all about in this Epstein scenario. Who is that prince? Which fornicating prince was that again? I mean, they're all like deadbeats, slackards, ne'er-do-wells. Oh, Prince Andrew. I'm innocent. I'm the Queen's favorite boy. I loathe the royalty. I hate them. I despise them. But oh, they're the royalty. Ooh. Anyway, up next, we get the brainbuster questions. You know, you get 10 right, you get Frank Morano's $1,000.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Yep, Frank Morano purloined this classic song from my stash. This used to be my theme song, Overnights. When I did Overnights here at WABC, we didn't call it The Other Side of Midnight. We called it Theater of the Mind. Because I was like a body snatcher, you know, mind, body, and soul. You were mine. That was it. That would be pretty impossible with this crew that Frank Morano has cultivated, because, I mean, we're talking about pods, you know, like pods. You get one pod, another pod pops up. Be like Army of the Body Snatchers. Really. Work's really cut out for me in substituting for Frank Morano. By the way, Frank Morano milking this paternity train like there's no tomorrow. He was spotted at Harrah's in Atlantic City, again, losing every nickel, dime, and penny. They wouldn't give him any more chips. They threw him out on Washington Street. That's it. And he took he pounded the hound, the greyhound home. Yeah, he was out of luck. I don't know how he's going to do it. He's got a kid now. Kid went from 13 pounds in just 10 days to 16 pounds. And he's having him listen to talk radio. I mean, really? Where's Dyfus in New Jersey? Where's child welfare in New York? They got to do an intervention. He's got the headphones on the kid. Did you see the picture that they posted? He's got little headphones on little Carmine, listening to WABC 770 AM. Are you out of your mind? The kid will probably end up being a serial killer. No doubt about it. Anyway, it's going to be the We Be Thugging update. I think like half a day ago when I first got here, I've been on for like, 12 straight hours. It's okay. I can handle it. It'll be plenty of time to sleep when I'm dead. So I'm on the number six train, and this guy comes on, this white guy, well-dressed, got khakis, brand new khakis. He's got a white T-shirt on. He's going up and down. He's wearing these moccasins, you know, very weak, not very manly, but we're new. He goes, He's chilling for chump change. You know, he's got the little coffee cup, you know, from the Greek diner. And then people are giving him change. I don't know why. I guess because he looked like one of these preppy white boys, and they figured, oh, he probably really needs it. He goes to Dalton, and maybe he's going to use this for tuition, right? It's so easy to sucker people. So a woman puts a freaking dollar in, a George Washington. And you know what he had the chutzpah, the culions, the huevos to say? I need something more substantial, like a $20 bill. I went up to the guy. I had it. You know, this idea, don't get involved, you know, because nobody's going to get arrested. I said, you want something substantial? How about you get a freaking J-O-B job? Oh, and some people with that, oh, you're so harsh, Curtis. That's why I didn't vote for you for mayor. You're insensitive. Can't you see this guy is needy? I said, needy. He's got new moccasins on. He's got khakis. He's got a brand new T-shirt on. And he's hustling for change so he could go to Dalton's? 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. But speaking of making Dalton-style money, this is maybe the classic, I'll call it the classic rope-a-dope of all time. Frank Morano wants to act like Mr. Big Stuff. Who am I? He's offered $1,000 prize money. Now, you know it ain't going to be his money. John Catsimatidis, no doubt. He's going to have to peel it off his Philly roll. But see, Frank has factored in that nobody of his listeners will ever get 10 out of 10 questions in 60 seconds. Because he understands, you know, they're vapid. They got a muscle between both ears. So I'm going to give out the numbers slowly so that some of you with your Crayola crayons can actually write down the numbers and call in and try to answer 10 out of 10 questions. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Now, if this were any other audience of any other show, they'd be on speed dial right now, right? Phone screening, you'd already have half a dozen calls you'd be filtering through. Not one call. Not one call. In fact, let's go to Jeannie in the interim here from Queens. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Jeannie.
Hi, Sliwa. I knew the actress was Betty White, but someone already guessed it. So I have another question. You had mentioned that Happy the Elephant is very unhappy and that he's banging his head, and that's a really extreme anxiety stress signal of a mammal. Is there no way that we can help to get that beautiful elephant to a preserve?
Beautiful, beautiful sentiment, Jeannie. You are correct. Happy is not so happy. You know, here are all the little kitties going to the Bronx, the zoo, and they go into the elephant area and they see Happy, the lone elephant, banging his head against the wall. He's got some psychological issues.
Yeah, he's lonely and he has no other elephants around him. It's terrible. Can't we do something?
Yeah, well,
like
he's depressed. Well, this is what happened. A rescue group from out, I think, near Texas. They have this huge ranch there that they use for animals, wild animals. Mm-hmm. And they said, we'll take them off your hand, no cost to the Bronx Zoological Society. They normally does pretty good work. But they were resisting. No, you're not taking Happy from us. Meantime, they're saying Happy is not so happy. He's banging his head up against the cage.
Right.
And poor Happy is not so happy. But, Jeannie, I promise I'll follow up on that. In fact,
Thank you.
In fact, we will ask my wife, Nancy. The hit hour of all the hours I've done tonight is definitely the animal welfare hour with our animal welfare expert here at WABC, Nancy Sliwa, who, by the way, we learned proof positive today, did vote. Not for Curtis Sliwa for mayor, right? She's my wife. But while I'm arguing with the incorrigibles, ineffective, corrupt Board of Election officials at my polling location that consists of both Democrats and Republicans, she did a write-in vote for Gizmo Sliwa. And that's how we knew it was her. Because nobody would have called the little kitten Gizmo Sliwa other than Nancy Sliwa. And we co-busted her tonight, didn't we, guys? We co-busted her. So do we have any ignoramuses here who are going to try to score $1,000 in 1 minute with 10 questions? Oh, Andrew.
The Other Side of Midnight presents...
It's the $1,000 Minute. Answer 10 questions correctly in 1 minute, and you could win $1,000. Here's your host, Frank Morano.
You wish. Because this host is going to kabong you. Hey, Andrew in Long Island, are you up for this, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm up for it.
All right, try to talk into the phone, not like you're in some kind of tunnel. You think you could work on that, Andrew?
Yeah,
okay.
I can work on it.
All right. You work hard. Heavy lifting here. These are really brain-buster questions. What day of the week is it?
Monday now.
Okay, good. In what city did Chicago-style pizza originate?
Chicago. Of course.
Stop. Give him some time here. I'm laughing hysterically because these are the questions for the Frank Morano listeners. This is not, you know, beat Bernie in the 9 o'clock hour when Sid Rosenberg and Bernie are on. I mean, those are brain busters. Okay, let's restart the timing mechanism here. Are you ready? You ready, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm
all right,
ready.
I've composed myself. What is the name of the organization that I founded?
The Guardian Angels.
Very good. Okay. In the Pixar logo, what letter gets crushed by the bouncing lamp?
I don't know that, but why?
You know, I'm going to give it to him. Because he's been very patient. You know, let's face it. This is a Frank Morano listener. I'm going to give it to him. In Danish, what toy brick company's name means play well?
I don't know. Play well. School?
Lego. Lego.
Lego. Play well.
Let me ask you another question. The current most liked picture on Instagram is of what?
Female?
Well, it should be. But remember, nowadays, come on, Andrew, it's not like when you and I were growing up, right? We were chasing skirts. Now, these hipsters and millennials, they're too busy on the computer. They're too busy, you know, posting their Instagram posts. They don't have time to have that vicarious interest that we had that was natural to our DNA, Andrew. But you do realize, Andrew, you're not getting $1,000.
No, of course not.
I tell you what, though. You know, Mr. Big Stuff, who does he think he is, Frank Morano, promised tchotchkes. And he got two of them, right? You know, he knew what day of the week it is. It's Monday. He knew in what city Chicago-style pizza originated in.
I thought you'd get a big kick out of that one, Curtis.
Oh, my God. Andrew, stay on the line. Please phone screener. You got to take his information. We got to send him some kind of a tchotchke. I'm sure Frank Morano has some tchotchke, you know, like a cheap pen, you know, a keychain. God only knows. With all the clutter that Frank Morano has over the years, all the times he'd lose at those casinos, all those games of chance, and they would give him like little tchotchkes, you know, feeling sorry for him as he would pound the hound back to Staten Island, you know, over the outer bridge crossing, and they would dump him right near the ferry, and then he'd have to work his way back on a bus. Oh, my God, have you ever done that? Well, that's Frank. That's Frank. Let me be somewhat gracious to him. He is a brand-new father with Carmine. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. Oh, get ready. Coming up, your 15 seconds of infamy. Yeah, you'll really stretch the limits of intelligence on this one. Your 15 seconds of infamy. I know you're all getting ready. It's sort of motors charged up. I'm going to flash to you the Indianapolis checker flag of the Indianapolis 500. And if you're able to win, you get to drink whole milk, not 1% milk, not lactate, not 2% milk, a bottle of whole milk. 1-800-848-9222. Now, it's interesting. We're focused on this horrible crime that was committed against a student at Columbia University, a teacher. What is crazy gangbanger here? What's his name here? Vincent Pickney. He's got a record like 500 Scott tissue papers long. He decided to go on a slashing spree right near the campus. So he stabs over and over the Columbia graduate student before plunging a knife into another guy's back and chest, then rushed into Central Park and tried to stab someone else. And now everybody is saying, oh, about Columbia, oh, this is a Shonda, this is a horror. Columbia University has one of the worst crime and safety records in the nation, according to the stats that are kept on major universities. You remember, what was it, 2 years ago, Tessa Majors, 18, was a student at Columbia's Barnard College, was stabbed to death, also in Morningside Park. At Columbia University, it's the best students in the world. You have to protect them. Why? Excuse me. Why do they get better treatment than anybody else in this lawless town where predators rule the streets, the subways, and the parks? I mean, let's be real here. Columbia University costs a lot of money when parents send their kids there. What is Columbia University doing? Nothing. And if you don't mind, I'd like to digress and go back to my campaign for mayor that only like one-third of you determined I was worth voting for. One of my standard platform planks was that I wanted three institutions to pay property taxes that presently don't pay property taxes. Columbia University, that sits on an endowment of $11 billion. NYU, that sits on an endowment of $4 billion. And the Hazari, the pig of all pigs, Jimmy Dolan, who owns Madison Square Garden, which is part of Penn Station, which is crime central. There's a stabbing, a shooting, a robbery that's occurring on a regular basis there. Now think of it. All three of those institutions do not pay property taxes. So I'm going to have to scrape your mindset, remind you what I said during the campaign, because I knew they were deadbeats, slackers, and weren't paying their fair share. And you would think with all the crime problems that have existed up in Morningside Park, in and around Columbia University, and I'm going to cite them, all the problems that occur at Penn Station, in and around Madison Square Garden on a regular basis, and all the crimes that are committed in Washington Square Park in Greenwich Village, right in front of NYU, you think that they need to pay their fair share? 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC.
WABC, you're hearing things.
You're hearing things.
On 77 WABC.
It's baby's first Christmas. It's something to see.
This Connie Francis.
Mommy.
Now you can play it. I love Connie Francis. I really do.
Trimming baby's Christmas.
She was the best. Now some say she was born in Crown Heights, Brooklyn. That's what I say. But the cognoscenti said she was born in Newark, New Jersey. I say it was Crown Heights. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? Give me a little more Connie Francis. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. I'll never forget. It was 1991, 92 in that area. I'd just broken into WABC talk radio with my wife, Lisa, at the time. Forget, what was she, my first wife, second wife? And it was Angels in the Morning. And a bouquet arrived of flowers. For me, not for Lisa. For me. Lisa was very suspicious at that moment. She looked at the little card. It was from Connie Francis to me. That's right, guys. Eat your heart out. Connie Francis. Every Italian grandmother or mother had wished that their son, their Mama Luke's son, wouldn't leave the house at 35 or 45, would have met Connie Francis. I would have married her. God. See, notice I didn't cut off that song. Hey, you can play a lot of Christmas songs by Connie Francis. I swoon. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. But let's get back to the Curtis Sliwa We Be Thugging update. You like that? The We Be Thugging update having to do with all the crime, the chaos, the anarchy, and the total lack of law and order that exists in our city of New York. Because Comrade Bill de Blasio, the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope, has single-handedly destroyed this city that we love with a Miley Cyrus wrecking ball. Let me give you the stats about Columbia University. Again, they pay no property tax whatsoever. Columbia reported 412 safety incidents in 2019. The last year for which such data is available. 420 close to 420 crimes committed on campus. Major crimes such as murder, rape, robbery, aggravated assault, or arson comprise 15% of the incidents reported at Columbia. Violence against women went up 9, make that 10% at Barnard. And all of a sudden, people were leaving signs out after this murder spree. Clean up our neighborhood. Columbia, do something. Well, they could do something. They could allot more public safety officers. They don't. They could subsidize the NYPD. They don't. So what we got to do is we got to extract from them fiscal pain compliance. Again, they sit on an endowment of $11 billion. What are they going to do with that money? Right? Just count the interest? What are they going to do? Leave Morningside Heights? Go ahead, leave. They're not leaving. So what they have to do is pay their fair share. In fact, this is what you say to those wonks at Columbia University, the elite, the people who think they're better than us. They don't have to pay property taxes. You know, let the little people pay property taxes. That's what they think at Columbia University. Dedicate that property tax to the hiring of New York City police officers. So you recruit them, you vet them out, you train them at College Point, you get them out into the streets. Some of them get allocated to the on-campus area of Columbia University, the off-campus area, that whole area of the Upper West Side going down to 110th Street and further up past 125th Street. That property tax money should subsidize the hiring, the vetting, and the training of new police cadets coming out of College Point. Second, look at Penn Station. Every day, it's like the March of Dawn of the Dead, not the March of the Wooden Soldiers, you know, the Christian classic. Oh, no, no, no. It's the March of the Zombies, the Dope Fiends, those who are emotionally disturbed, the homeless. They're everywhere. Jimmy Dolan isn't paying any of his millions of dollars to subsidize public safety. He's only caring about that property that is immediately kissing the lip of the property line of Madison Square Garden. And he wants us to subsidize a building of a brand new Madison Square Garden. Guess what, Jimmy Dolan, over my dead body. What I would have done if I had been elected mayor was tell Jimmy Dolan no more sweetheart deals that was arranged by Ed Koch years ago. Not for your family. You didn't know Madison Square Garden and Radio City Music Hall, the Knicks or the Rangers or anything else at that point. It was another group of owners that threatened to move Madison Square Garden to Secaucus. How did that work out for the Nets, huh? So, hey, Jimmy Dolan, you want to move to Secaucus? Go ahead, knock yourself out. But one thing you're going to do is pay your fair share of property taxes so that we can hire, train, vet out NYPD police officers, graduate them from the academy at College Point, and assign them within a 4-square block area of Penn Station, which is dominated by the traffic in and out of Madison Square Garden. And then, of course, you have NYU. Look how many problems were occurring over the summer in Washington Square Park. Every other day and night, there was chaos. There was anarchy. You had the Rastafari. They were dealing their ragweed, you know, with their seeds and stems and ripping off everybody. There were guys and gals shooting up right there, passing out, dying. They couldn't get the Narcan to them fast enough. And then all kinds of fights and disputes that were going on there. It was chaotic. There was anarchy. They had community meetings. And then outsiders would come in and say, hey, stay out of the park. Doesn't matter that you're a resident of Greenwich Village. It's our park. Whose park? Our park. Whose park? Our park. So you would think NYU sitting on an endowment of $4 billion. What are they going to do with that money? When you die, are you going to take it with them? Of course or not. They should be forced, again, since they pay no property taxes, to pay a specified property tax that would go into the hiring, the vetting out, and the training of a brand new class of NYPD cadet police officers at College Point. And then they get assigned to the Greenwich Village area. Wow, that makes too much common sense, right? God forbid we apply common sense. Pay your fair share, Columbia University, you know. You want all the security that the taxpayers of New York can afford you. And then all of a sudden you complain that you're not properly secured. Well, that's because you haven't ponied up and paid your property tax. Jimmy Dolan, you're always complaining about the lack of security in the Penn Station, Madison Square Garden area, and you're threatening to leave. Knock yourself out. Go ahead, leave. But pay your fair share of property taxes. And NYU, you bought up like half of Greenwich Village, which is off the property tax rolls. You should be taxed. And that money hires NYPD police officers that can patrol the nearby subway stations, of which there are many, starting at West 4th Street, all the way down to Sheridan, down to the number one train, down towards Houston Street, up towards 14th Street. Pay your fair share. Now, hopefully, incoming Mayor Eric Adams will see things my way. Probably not. Because that was actually an idea originally floated by Andrew Yang. Although he just wanted to tax Columbia and NYU and Madison Square Garden. He didn't have a specified route for that money to be used. I have the specification of hiring more police officers. They have crime in and around their areas. And yet they want more resource from the NYPD, a depleted NYPD that many of their students and graduates actually supported the defunding of the police, right? Look at a lot of these brainiacs and wonks who wrote the editorials, who participated in the demonstrations, who wanted to defund the NYPD. And now because some of their own students are attacked, what do they want? More cops, more cops, more cops. Well, guess what? To the back of the line, unless you pay your fair share of property taxes. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Coming up, you're not going to want to miss it. Your 15 seconds of infamy awaits you. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC.
77 WABC, where the action is.
We are New York on New York's Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
When am I going to take the Zamboni down to the New York the Ranger ice with this music? What the hell is this?
Another Connie Francis song.
Oh, it's great. It's wonderful. It's magnificent. It's Connie Francis. I love Connie Francis, and she loved me. You know, my wife Lisa at the time, I think, thinks that she was snacking on me and I was snacking on her. Could you believe that? Could you believe that? That my wife at that time would think that I would be hitting up on Connie Francis and she'd be hitting up on me simply because she sent a bouquet of roses to me with a nice little card filled out with little kisses on it, Connie Francis. You know, it's some of these women, they're obsessed. They think that if a woman looks at you, all of a sudden you're snacking on them, they're snacking on you. Before we go to the 15 seconds of infamy that all of you lust to have, but few can achieve, our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let me talk about what's going on in jolly old England. Oh, yes, Boris Johnson. Now, tell me that Boris Johnson doesn't look like a cocaine addict. The hair's flying all in the directions. His eyes are bulging out. So what Boris Johnson has decided to do is to declare war on recreational drugs, especially cocaine. You know, from the Medellin, the Cali cartel, the remnants of Pablo Escobar. So apparently, the senior MPs in Parliament are considering a move after an investigation found traces of cocaine at 11 out of 12 sites tested throughout Parliament. A bathroom close to the private offices of Boris, check out my hair, Johnson, and the Home Secretary were among those where signs of illegal cocaine use were discovered. The Commons Speaker, Sir Lindsay Hoyle, said he would notify the police at New Scotland Yard after the discovery in the toilets in the palace building itself and the adjoining house where many MPs have their offices. The House of Commons has a long history of using sniffer dogs to detect explosives. It may be that we now have to broaden the range of sniffer dogs to include those who can detect coquina, cocaine. It comes as the Prince Minister unveils a new clampdown on lifestyle drug use, threatening to confiscate the passports and the driving licenses of middle-class users. The places tested with drug wipes in the sweeps are only accessible to those with a parliamentary pass or visitors allowed in who have to be accompanied around the building by the person they are meeting. The Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, with the crazy hair, today hit out at lifestyle users of Class A's by people who thought they were committing a victimless crime only by dabbling on the weekends into sniffing cocaine. He said he wanted to bring in measures that interfere with their lives as he accused them of being complicit in driving up drug-related crime across the UK. In fact, Boris Johnson, with his hair flying in the air, distinguished between addicts and social users of drugs. He said government resources will also be made available to help wean addicts off heroin, crack, and other hard drugs. But his war is on coquina, cocaine, that he says is rife in the House of Commons, being used by both Tories and Labour. And yes, even in the House of Lords with the esteemed gentlemen there who are from royal gentry. So in order to crack down, he says he will take away their passports and their driving licenses. Oh, heavens to Betsy. Well, Boris Johnson, Prime Minister, you ought to look at yourself in the mirror. You look like a cocaine addict. I mean, this guy is all wired up. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. If you seek your 15 seconds of infamy, if you dare. Meantime, back here in North America, the former colonies of the UK, and Boris Johnson is licking his chops saying, gee, I could have been the Prime Minister of not just the UK, that includes Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland, and Britain. But I could have been Prime Minister of Canada, too, and the United States, if only the Union Jack had waved loud and proud over both those landmasses. Well, guess what? It didn't happen. But check out this search with a spectrometer. Apparently, spectrometers have been used on currency in both Ottawa, Canadian currency, and in Washington, D.C., with American currency. Nearly 9 out of 10 bills circulating in the U.S. and its northern neighbor, Canada, are tainted with cocaine. 9 out of 10. That's right. Definite research indicates. What's more, researchers were surprised to find hints that more Americans are using cocaine than ever before. 67% of U.S. bills were found to be tainted with cocaine. 67% of our paper currency. 85 to 95%, a jump of roughly 20% as we approach 2022. The drug gets on paper money during drug transactions and when people roll the bills to snort their coquina powder. That who knows, they have on a woman's navel, they have on a desktop, God only knows where. And apparently in the countries of Brazil and China and Japan, the problem is nowhere near as great. In fact, China and Japan have a very minimal amount of cocaine dust that has been left on its currency. But Brazil keeps growing in terms of the amount of cocaine that is found on its currency over the years. I wonder how many of you guys in the control room are going to get a buzz by now sniffing the currency you have in your pockets. You know, the $1 bills, $5 bills, $10 bills, $20 bills, $100 bills, $50 bills. I bet you would. But I think it's time for us to go immediately to all of those who are trying to declare infamy by calling up the Frank Morano show, lame as many of them will be. In the normal course of talk radio, I would consider 60 seconds, 30 seconds, maybe I would truncate it in half to 30 seconds. But because so many of you are special ed out there, the recommendation of Frank Morano, who again is milking the paternity train, every nickel, dime, and penny he can get by laying up like a deadbeat and a slackard, collecting the money, running off to Atlantic City on the weekends and pretending like he's taking care and helping Rachel take care of their now 16-pound-year-old son, Carmine. Let's go to the calls to see if you have achieved
other
infamy.
Side of midnight. This is 15 Seconds of Fame.
Let's see, as I go through this panoply of different callers, it's a lot of testosterone here. Not much estrogen. We need the ladies to be calling in. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Victor in Manhattan. Your 15 seconds of infamy awaits you, Victor.
You know, when asked what MAGA means, Ocasio-Cortez, without hesitation, responded, Make Antarctica gentrified again.
Make Antarctica gentrified again. Man, that was so bad. But so typical of a Frank Morano listener and caller. Let's go to Lauren, calling from New Jersey. Your 15 seconds of infamy awaits you, Lauren.
To the ABC family, please encourage Bernie to get a second opinion before he does anything with Dr. Lederman. Please. Thank you.
Inquiring minds want to know what she's talking about. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-9222. As we await the opportunity for you to get on the wires of AT&T and achieve infamy, Peter in Manhattan, your turn to be heard, Pete.
Yes, Curtis, it's bad, in bad taste to make fun of people with speech impediments. That guy is bright. He has a speech impediment. You have a lot of frailties, human frailties. I guess it's where you grew up at. You never learned that people with disabilities should be respected. Thank you.
Oh, that was short, quick, cogent, and quite to the point. Unlike Peter, who's been a lifetime caller here, like Tom from the Bronx. Anyway, Joe in Ronkonkoma, your 15 seconds of infamy awaits you.
Hey, sweetheart. Listen, I take offense when you say special ed callers. And I want to also ask you a question. Where's Frankie Russo?
You know something? All I know is Frank Morano. And he was last seen in Harrah's on Saturday night, shooting craps, losing his shirt. All he had left was his pants when he pounded the hound across the Outer Bridge crossing back to Staten Island, the North Shore, right by the ferry terminal, and then had to take a city bus home. That's how bad it gets. Anyway, to the phones we go. It's Paul calling from New Haven. Your 15 seconds of fame awaits you, Paul.
Hey, when Rush Limbaugh died, how could this James Goldman piece of crap, Uncle Tom, make money off of Rush's death?
What are you talking about? I've known James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, for a long, long time. He's a lifelong friend of Rush Limbaugh. Not only a colleague in talk radio, being his phone screener and assistant producer, but a lifelong friend. See, what a disgraziata. Let's go to John in the Bronx. It's your turn. 15 seconds of infamy awaits you, John.
And Curtis Spieler, your 15 minutes of fame is up. Now you can go back and finish high school.
Maybe I should go to East New York Night School, right? Which many of the Frank Morano listeners were graduates of. Let's go to Kevin in Long Island. Your 15 seconds of infamy awaits you, Kevin.
Sizzle moron.
Whew. God. What can we do to sort of raise the standards of the callers and the listeners? other than just send a tsunami, you know, just wipe them out and start from scratch. You know, it's reflective of the host, the listeners and the callers. They're almost a knocker. You know, it's like, hey, your son is a chip off the old block, like Carmine's a chip off of Frank's block. The callers and listeners are a chip off of Frank Morano's block. Boy, that's a shrinking block, isn't it? 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Mike in Staten Island. Your 15 seconds of infamy awaits you, Mike.
Hey, Curtis, how do you think Fredo's testosterone is now that he's on the cheese line with his brother? When in Woodside, Dino and son.
Promotion for Dino's in Woodside, right? Does the guy get a perk for that? Does he get like a free liverwurst sandwich, you know? Or maybe a ginger ale, you know, 7-Up, something, Canada Dry. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. Your 15 seconds of fame awaits you, Steve, in Woodlawn.
Curtis, I just want to say, Curtis, that here you are griping about the prime minister, and all night you've been sitting on the cream cheese shortage, Curtis.
Excellent analogy. Yes, we started the evening program in the 9 o'clock hour as I talked about what is really causing a lot of agita, especially amongst Jews, the lack of the shmear on the bagel. There is a Philadelphia cream cheese shortage. We heard from a lot of cognoscenti of how they would not switch to Mazola margarine and have a crown on their head or Land O'Lakes butter. They would not. It's either cream cheese or bust. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Rick for your 15 seconds of infamy in Tom's River. Rick.
Good morning. How are you today? You know, Curtis, when you were married to Lisa Evers, I knew her dad. He loved to play golf in Paramus, in the Paramus Golf Course on Paramus Road, and he lived a block away from the Ridgewood Duck Pond.
Can't even understand what the guy was talking about. He knew my father-in-law at that time. Who happened to be an executive at, I think, American Can, if memory serves me correct. They lived in Ridgewood, right near the Duck Pond. He was a great guy. I got along with Lisa's brothers. They were all great. I just didn't get along with Lisa. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Oh, let's go to the Cheech in Howard Beach. Your 15 seconds of fame awaits you, Cheech.
Raise the ratings of WABC. Bring back Frankie Russo.
Frankie. We got Frank Morano. I don't understand what we're talking about here. Frank Morano. He's on paternity leave. After he helps his wife, Rachel, raising Carmine, who's gone from 13 pounds to 16 pounds in just 10 days. I'm sure he'll be back in a month of Sundays. Anyway, you get 15 seconds of infamy that awaits you, 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to William in Westchester. Your 15 seconds of infamy awaits you, William.
Hey, Curtis, you're doing a great job. When your buddy does come back, I suppose he's going to find that you've got the Monday through Friday slot, and he's got the weekend from now on.
Interesting observations. How cogent of you, William. That he would think this, that I'm like roller derby. You know, I got sharp elbows. Like Charlie O'Connell, remember? Well, what team did Charlie O'Connell play for? The San Francisco Thunderbirds, remember? Roller derby. And he would come all the way from the back, all the way to the front. And he would get by everybody in the game. The game, the match would be to the San Francisco Thunderbirds, I believe. Or maybe that was the wine I was drinking at the time, Thunderbird wine. It was like 99 cents Giulio and Gallo chemical wine. Yeah, it came right from the vineyards there. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Your 15 seconds of infamy awaits you, Raj.
That warmongering Sissy Khan of a provocateur who calls Babbitt a terrorist should debate a real Republican conservative, not a softy like Curtis.
Oh, Enough of this. Enough of this. This is a real mind bender and breaker. I mean, we're not talking Mensa here. We're not talking, maybe we'll give a few others a chance. Maybe we can raise the curve here because the curve is pretty low. It seems to be scraping the asphalt and the sidewalk. Oh, let's see. We'll give Howie a try. Your 15 seconds of fame awaits you in Manhattan, Howie.
Hey, what's up? DJ Kosher Howie here. Now I can walk around doing graffiti in Manhattan because you're not going to be the mayor anymore. And I'm a George Norrie listener. Yep, that's it.
Oh, coast to coast, huh? He likes those little gray aliens running around. He's old school, man. He's old school. Let's go to Rich in Rockland County. Your 15 seconds of infamy awaits you, Rich.
Okay, I want to just talk to Miss Sleep. I want to tell them I also am a fan, a biggest fan of Connie Francis. And I met her. Oh, can I talk to Curtis?
Oh, God, what a gavon. What a gavon. Can I talk to Curtis? Who do you think is here? Do I sound like Frank Morano? Can we try one more, right? Let's see if we can break, like, the 50 cent mark. You know, this is like social promotion. You got 55 on your test, and through social promotion, they just pushed you to the next class. Let's try Raj in Connecticut. Your 15 seconds of fame awaits you, Roger.
Yes. I'd like to know about the 17-year-old that was caught with a knife and... What's a 17-year-old do with $30,000 in cash?
Ah, you mean in the school systems of New York? That was in Brooklyn. Actually, it was a loaded gun and $30,000 in cash. And then the very next day, school security of the public school system under the supervision of the NYPD did an impromptu series of screenings of the students coming in. By bringing in metal detectors that should have been there all along, and they found 22 separate weapons just on one day during one search, a pat-down, and screening everybody's book bags. 22 weapons. Speaking of weapons, what was the spokesperson for the White House talking about when it came to the smash-and-grab crimes that are plaguing parts of our country? What was her response to that?
So when a huge group of criminals organizes themselves and they want to go loot a store, a CVS, a Nordstrom, a Home Depot, until the shelves are clean, you think that's because of the pandemic?
I think a root cause in a lot of communities is the pandemic, yes.
Unbelievable. Why she would say something like that? And yet, with all the smash and grab robberies taking place, especially in Cali, in California on the West Coast, between San Francisco and Los Angeles, they have done study after study within the past two weeks to suggest that the increase in the organized crime smash and grabs since the pandemic is the result. Now get this, because there are more people shopping online and criminals, thugs and thuggets are seeing an opening to sell both stolen and counterfeit goods because there's a bigger market. So they're doing this so they can throw it up on eBay, Facebook Marketplace. Wrong. You know, it has to do with them decriminalizing robberies, which they've done throughout California. Shoplifting is not considered serious at all. Other nonviolent crimes are prosecuted as if they are misdemeanors or just violations. And in-store theft is not even treated as an arrestable offense. So here you go. You got all these states like California, they lead and others have followed, raising the felony thresholds for shoplifting, eliminating cash bail for nonviolent crimes, decriminalizing theft in some jurisdictions, fewer arrests, fewer prosecutions, which leads to what? More stealing, more smashing grabs. And then they come to the conclusion that it might only be at the street level, stating that professional thieves likely would not go to stores such as Versace and Louis Vuitton, robberies that draw more attention from law enforcement. They couldn't be more hopelessly wrong. So, ladies and gentlemen, I had a tremendous time segueing from Curtis Sliwa when I was here at 9 o'clock last night to then Nancy Sliwa, who gave us the animal welfare review, magnificent job from 12 to 1, and then somehow morphed into Frank Morano, the Mamaluke, from 1 right here to 5. They wouldn't let me do the news my way, the prejudice way, so it's up to Deb Valentine to take you the rest of the way.